Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 26, 1996.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, across all these many, many, many time zones, stretching from the Hawaiian and Tahitian Islands eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north into Santa Country at the pole, and worldwide on the Internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. Top of the morning. I'm Art Bell. Lots to talk about. And so let's dig in. We'll get to Open Line Talk Radio, which is what it's going to be all night long. Well, we still don't know who did it. But Warren Christopher went and visited the bomb site. It was incredible. Did you see it? A gigantic, gaping hole in the ground. It looked like an asteroid had hit or something. And as you know, there are 19 dead, 386 wounded, about 40,000 U.S. personnel, civilian and military, remaining in Saudi Arabia. And they today received a State Department warning that times are dangerous. I bet they really needed that, huh? No kidding. Would have been nice had the warning come a little earlier. But it didn't. The president going to the G7 conference, where now the main topic will be terrorism. The new enemy, in fact, is really terrorism in the world right now, isn't it? And it's on the increase, and it's on the increase in the Mideast. And we will remain in Saudi Arabia, and there will be many there that don't want us to. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled Wednesday an all-male, state-supported military college has now got to let the gals in. In a landmark discrimination case, the High Court decided in a 7-1 vote that the historic all-male admissions policy at Virginia Military Institute must go. And so it goes. Dissenting Justice Scalia said that it is politics smuggled into law. Ooh, that's pretty strong. Politics smuggled into law. I'm going to have to remember that line. Yes, indeed. Now, a very, very interesting day, I must say, with regard to the FBI files wrongdoing. There was a hearing held yesterday. And what a joke it turned out to be in so many ways. There was a lot of anger. There was a lot of yelling back and forth. And there was a lot of hearing interruptus because of the bombing in Saudi Arabia. They continually interrupted the hearings on CNN with the president making statements about Saudi Arabia and all the rest of it. Coverage showing that gaping hole in the ground again and again and again. And so these hearings suffered. And it's all very interesting. Let me tell you a couple of things. And I really think this is a critical thing for us to consider. The NBC Wall Street Journal poll out today gave kind of a mixed signal that I think makes sense when you look at it very carefully. 68% of the American people surveyed said that in their view, this was, on the part of the Clinton administration, a fishing expedition to get information on political opponents. Now, that's almost 7 in 10 Americans saying they do believe the Clinton administration was going after people, trying to get dirt. 18% said it was an innocent mistake. But the very same NBC poll gave Clinton 54% and Bob Dole 37%, a full 17-point spread. Now, what does that say? Let's think about that. Well, let's see. 7 out of 10 of the American people believe this was a fishing expedition to get dirt on political opponents. But by 17 points, they still support Bill Clinton over Bob Dole. The same NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Now, I'll just leave it there. And I'll ask all of you, what does that mean to you? In other words, the American people are saying, yep, he did it. He shouldn't have done it. But he did it. And they're still supporting the president by a 17-point margin. Bob Dole picking up the endorsement of James Woolsey, who served as CIA director under President Clinton. The judge in the bomb case, in the Oklahoma City bomb case now being tried or about to be tried in Denver, has ruled that victims' relatives are not going to be allowed to sit in court during the proceedings if they might have to testify in the upcoming trial. Now, that certainly makes sense. But the defense for McVeigh wants the trial moved again, doesn't like Denver. This time, he wants it moved out of the continental U.S. altogether. Now, I guess you could send it to Hawaii or Alaska. Or does he mean he wants it out of the United States of America altogether? For those of you that are a little cynical, a Supreme Court ruling Wednesday allows political parties to spend more money to help their congressional candidates in general election campaigns. Now, this is a big blow to the spending limit crowd. And to me, it means the big money people win. We lose. So, there you are. I just, you know, I don't know what to say about this. I'm so discouraged. Hello, Mr. Bell. I am a 21-year-old college student in northern Wisconsin. I want your opinion on a matter that has been pondered by myself and friends. Do you think there is any way that a person could run for a federal government office, Congress, or the Senate, or the presidency, without having the benefit of a lot of wealth? As things continue to get worse in the U.S., I feel compelled to do something about it. I'd like to run for Congress someday. You know, try to add some common sense into the senselessness of government. I believe we really need a revolution in the U.S., an unarmed one. I wish that a normal, middle-class, working American would stand up and say, I'm not going to put up with this anymore, and instead of sitting on their rear, actually get up and run for office. So, here is a young man in Wisconsin who would like to run, and he's asking, I guess, all of us, me, whether I think, without wealth, you could run for office. I would like to say yes, but that is not the real answer, is it? And whether you have to have personal wealth or you have to raise money, the answer clearly is no. But maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe the ability to raise money means that you have support. Well, it does, right? If you can get out there and raise money from people, then you've got support. Unless there is a cruel twist and that money comes from specific and narrow special interests, then you have perverted the system, haven't you? And I'm afraid that's what this ruling is going to allow or even expand. So, what is my answer to that young man? You can try, but I'm giving it to you honestly. I don't think you can succeed at that level without money. I wonder if any of the rest of you are more optimistic than I. Here's something kind of interesting. I would like it confirmed. Hey, Art, what can you tell us about the latest findings on DNA that may eclipse Darwin's theory of evolution? These new findings show that DNA can only degenerate in structure and not advance. Wow. These new findings show that DNA can only degenerate in structure and not advance. I suppose we'll all have to be like the members of the OJ jury if we wish to believe what science has been saying about the origin of species. Creationism or evolution? The debate continues. Now, this is the first I had heard of that. But that is very significant, isn't it, if true? In other words, DNA does not advance, does not regenerate and become the next generation, as it will. And I can't even come up with that word, metamorphize. I can't even say it. Isn't that something? You tell me anyway. What does that mean to you? That DNA can only degenerate. That means that we slowly waste away as a race. Now, one of the things that was always said about, quote, the aliens, was that they needed to renew their DNA structure. All the animal mutilations that have been going on would seem to be DNA research. What if that is a general truth, that DNA degenerates? That like our bodies, it has a certain life. And as it degenerates, so does the race that it describes. And that's what it does. It describes, in effect, life, doesn't it? So, any of you commenting on that, I would appreciate it. Hey, Art, I couldn't help but cringe when that congressman mentioned Admiral Borda's name today. Oh, yes, he did. He was referring to the late Admiral's sense of honor and apparent lack of it among the Filegate people. I then tried to imagine Clinton as the captain of a sinking ship. Would he give his life preserver to a woman or a child and then strap himself to the mast just before the ship took the final plunge? Hell no. He'd put on a dress, wig, and makeup and fake his way onto the life raft. Yes. The other thing that I found humorous during the day watching the hearings, as I was able to, as they sort of came and went on CNN, very humorous indeed. Everybody wanted to know and kept asking, who hired Craig Livingstone? In fact, they had fights about who hired Craig Livingstone, who threw himself on his political sword and resigned, as you know. Big surprise at the hearings. The White House expressed shock. Yes, I'm sure the White House was shocked and surprised. That was the word, surprised. The White House was surprised that he resigned. Check. At any rate, they kept asking people, who hired Craig Livingstone? Well, why didn't it occur to the people on that panel that Craig Livingstone was sitting right there? And I almost felt like shouting at the screen, why the hell don't you ask Craig who hired him? But no, they had to take the roundabout way and pound on everybody else. Who insisted, by the way, person by person, in giving answers that frustrated the chairman to the point that he almost broke into tears. So the whole thing, as far as I'm concerned, was kind of a joke. What's not a joke is the horrible, horrible violation of personal privacy that this White House is trying to write off as a mistake, which, by the way, the American people don't buy. And that's the other interesting thing I want to talk about this morning. the American people, I just can't believe it. On the one hand, they're saying 7 out of 10, yep, they were after political fodder to do in their enemies. But then, by a 17-point margin, they still say, but Bill Clinton is our guy. Now, you tell me what that says about the American people. Here is an AP story sent to me by Robert at KQMS. Thank you. Congressional Republicans are questioning why the White House has compiled a computer database of members of Congress, political contributors, and reporters. Ohio Republican Congressman, I can't read this, John Bonner, I believe it is, Bonner, says it is outrageous. Texas Republican Tom DeLay charges its Big Brother government. Actually, it's called Big Brother. House Republicans are asking the White House to release to each member information that may be in his or her file. The White House, in fact, confirms now it does maintain a database, but get this, folks, says it's used mainly for things like invitations and holiday cards, and to keep track of President Clinton's supporters. So, you know, a big old cray computer there spitting out the birthdays. Check. Just one little addendum here. The question came up on last night's or Tuesday's show concerning why no one was stirred up over the IRS and FBI file mess. I visited some friends earlier in the evening. We were talking about politics and so forth, and we all came to the conclusion that we just couldn't get excited over this election and may not even vote because the whole system is so rampant with deceit, cover-up, trying to thwart the desires of the people that the Congress, the President, the courts all cannot be trusted to do as the Constitution requires or intends. And I have to agree with Tom in Roland Heights, California. That's why I have stayed away, for the most part, from politics so much on this program, because I am not engaged. And last night, you heard me get a little bit engaged with the FBI files thing, because I view it as a horrible invasion of privacy, and I thought, aha, here's something with legs. But then today, I'm faced with a survey showing the American people indeed think it was evil doing on the part of the Clinton administration, but they still support the Clinton administration. That's like saying, yeah, we know your morals aren't what they ought to be. Yeah, you virtually admitted cheating on your wife, but we don't care. We like you. It's like saying, yeah, we know you avoided Dewey in Vietnam. We saw the letter to the colonel. We know you did that, but we don't care. We like you. You're Bill Clinton. Yeah, sure, you called up some FBI files on your political enemies and did a little fishing around, but hey, a 17-point lead. It's okay. We like you. You're Bill Clinton. I give up. I really give up. I can't believe it. I was waiting for the next survey to come out because I thought, aha, you know, all of this is going to resonate perhaps a week late with the American people. And lo and behold, a week has gone by. Another legitimate survey has been done. And I do view the NBC survey, Wall Street Journal, as legit in both ways. I mean, it really does. It says volumes, doesn't it, when you think about it? I mean, consider it, folks. The American people know what he has done. And on the other hand, same survey, they're saying, but we really don't care. And we still favor you over Bob Dole by 17 points. I swear I give up. Politics is just too damn corrupt for me. It's a half hour. We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
What will you do when you're lonely? No one will
Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 26, 1996.
Dear Art, according to Random House on a Bridge, metamorphosis. To undergo or be capable of undergoing a change in former nature. Thank you. In Albuquerque, that's right, that's our president. But it was a context I was trying to use that word in that got me in trouble. I suppose I could have said morph. I would have done. Metamorphosis. Metamorphosize? Is there such a thing? I don't know. Anyway, then a second fact. Art Nightline guests are aliens to the truth. Hank in Kansas City, Missouri. Well, I don't know. Maybe that's it, but they don't blink. I'm telling you. People on Nightline don't blink. And then this from Sean in Yucca Valley. Art, Bob Dole's twitchy television persona, which I have long observed on the Sunday morning political programs, has always been a strong argument for switching to decaffeinated coffee. His impressive intellect, political expertise, however, never were in doubt. Who is this imposter we now see on our televisions, with his strained, painfully fake smile, who seems so sadly unsure of himself, so tired, so awkward, so prone to verbal misfires, so horribly and unacceptably ancient? Dole's fire seems fizzled, his sparkle spent. I believe what we are witnessing, Art, is a strong, decent, and formerly effective man who's begun to lose his faculties at a very embarrassing and inopportune moment in his life. The Bob Dole of 10 or even 5 years ago would be giving Clinton a run for his money. This flaccid, forced, sunset years Bob Dole, in his descendancy, is a shadow of his former self and likely to get progressively worse. Put the honorable old political warhorse out to pasture and out of our lives and his misery, or there'll be a lot more iron-poor blood spilled during the remainder of the campaign. Holy mackerel, what a fax! Jeez! I'm not sure that Bob is that far gone. He is not what he was, and frankly, I like Bob Dole in his meaner days. The Bob Dole who would say something like, quit lying about my campaign. You remember that? The old war horse indeed. And at least there'd be a fight. There'd be a little fight in the guy. I don't know. He has not got it together. The faxer is correct about that. So I'm down on politics. And after watching the hearings yesterday, even more so, and oh, there was somebody who said they did ask Craig Livingstone who hired him, and he couldn't remember. Now, I didn't see that. Maybe it's the part I missed when CNN kept cutting away. I don't know why in the hell I didn't go to C-SPAN. I sat there getting more and more angry by the minute. Every time CNN would cut away, which they mostly did. So I probably missed that. But I did see a range of other people all trying to answer who had hired him with long pages and paragraphs, and I began to get in sympathy with the chairman. A simple yes or no will do. Do you know who hired him? Nobody was willing to give a yes or a no. It made me crazy. The whole day did. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Mark, Marysville, Washington.
Mark, extinguish your radio.
Okay.
Turn that sucker off.
It's off.
That's good. What's on your mind?
I'd like to bring up the Clinton.
Bring up the Clinton?
Yeah.
What about the Clinton?
Oh, well, I wanted to bring up the FBI files.
And what about them?
Back into the file. Well, I think they've been doing that for years.
Really?
Yes.
Not according to the testimony. If you watch the hearings, they haven't. I mean, yes, they certainly get files on current personnel that they need to check out, and then those files go to the president's library. They've been doing that, but I don't think they've been ordering files on political opponents for years. Not that we know of.
Yeah, it's just not that we know of.
I think that we would know of it.
Do you think so? You know, things weren't spread out or publicized.
Well, I
so
think
much.
That I think J. Edgar Hoover had files. He liked files. J. Edgar had a lot of files on a lot of people, and he used them. But he was, of course, head of the FBI. Do I think other administrations, as a matter of course, have done this? No. And I heard no evidence of that. In fact, quite to the contrary. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening.
Jerry from Minneapolis.
Hi, Jerry.
Say, one aspect of this situation you did not report on that was reported on a couple of different sources, apparently the Clinton White House has their little basement operation going, may possibly have assembled up to 10,000 names, including reporters and congressmen, and guess what they call it?
What?
Big Brother.
Big Brother.
Can you imagine the insensitivity, the cavalier attitude?
What is this, the mainframe computer that holds all this information is called Big Brother?
Apparently, they've been assembling a database from day one in the White House. This was reported on CNN and also on CBN today.
Yeah, I can almost picture Craig Livingstone with a big old piece of mainframe computer lugging it down to the basement of the White House on his back, beginning
you know that,
to
that
do data
today,
entry.
He almost became a sympathetic character. He was so out of his league, it was just almost pathetic.
Yeah, the moment they had to comfort him when they talked about Admiral Borda, it's like, why don't you go commit suicide?
I'm glad it was a Democrat that said it, not a Republican.
The whole thing was a mess. Did you watch?
Yes, I did. It was very frustrating. It was even worse was that C-SPAN was not covering it live because of live House hearings.
Oh, well, then it's I didn't go over to C-SPAN, I guess.
It was very, very, but that's the way they usually do it. They like to have their other agendas going. And just when it's getting hot and heavy, they're gone.
Oh, I got very angry.
The whole Big Brother thing, I hope it gets covered more. This thing is going to get deeper and deeper, I'm afraid.
I'll bet I'm in their computer. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
See you later. So they've got a big old mainframe cranking away down, maybe a Cray or the next generation down in the basement of the White House. You can almost picture a glassy-eyed Livingstone pressing buttons on the big mainframe. Calling up Major Dirt. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, I'm calling to comment.
Well, that's a good reason to be calling a talk show, all right. Where are you?
I'm from Houston. This is the American Observer from Houston.
The American Observer?
Yes. Okay. I keep an eye out on the American landscape to see what's going on. Anyway, I think the American people aren't being given enough credit for realizing that in the great scheme of crooked political dealings, the so-called Filegate scandal isn't that serious. Republicans and Democrats...
Now, wait, un momento. The American people, almost 7 out of 10, said, yes, we think Clinton has done this to get political dirt on his enemies. That's the NBC Wall Street Journal survey last night, sir. So...
What was the conclusion of the other?
The other half of the survey was that by a 17-point margin, the American people still favor Bill Clinton.
Exactly. That's my point.
So they're saying it's cool.
Exactly. It's serious, but it isn't that serious to the American people.
Apparently not.
I mean, Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill, they all are crooked.
That might be the conclusion.
Most of them.
Yep,
the main crime in Washington, D.C. is getting caught with what you've done.
Yeah.
All Clinton did was get caught with some papers in a room. Nobody knows what he was doing.
No, I think you're right, sir. I think you're right.
I think the American people realize, too, that the Republicans are just a bunch of pathetic, desperate people who secured the House. Now they're desperate, so desperate they'll do anything to get the president.
I think if you were to ask the American people and poll them, they would say that the Democrats are every bit as pathetic and worthless and corrupt as the Republicans. Now, what do you think about that?
I think
Be honest now.
I think you're correct, but
I am.
The Republicans seem to be willing to go to any lengths, including this thing with Mrs. Clinton consulting a guru. They seem to be willing to go to any lengths to discredit this presidency.
Now, let me try and remember back to the business about the astrologer and Nancy Reagan. There's something about that, wasn't there?
Was there a big to-do about it in the press?
Wasn't there a big to-do? Didn't the Democrats have a lot to say about that? I seem to recall
I don't recall that incident.
You don't? No, I don't. That's what a lot of Democrats say, especially in front of congressional committees. I don't recall. It's their favorite sentence.
Talk to you later. All right.
Goodbye, sir. I don't recall. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Bob in Minneapolis.
Hello, Bob.
A few things. First of all, I'm trying to get Norio Hayakawa's book, Secrets from Dreamland.
Yes.
Do I have to send away for that? They don't have it in the bookstore here.
Send me money.
Send it to you?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I thought maybe it was from your...
I have no idea how to get it, sir. I'm sorry. We've had Norio on, but I don't have that information at my fingertips here.
Okay. And I have one thing to say about the Republicans. If they want less government, why do they keep running for office?
Well, I suppose the good answer to that would be because that's the only way that actually we can ever get less government is if government itself decides to reduce its number.
Or maybe because that's the only job they can have.
Yeah, I'm pretty fed up with politics in general tonight.
I have one book that you should try and find to read. It's called The Sheep Look Up.
Really?
By John Brunner.
Okay, and what is the premise of the book?
It was written in the 70s, and it kind of talked about the future of the country.
What future?
Of America.
Yeah, what future?
Well, it talks about how bad water pollution gets so that people have to have purifiers, for example, and how bad the air gets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give away the...
All right, it's already there, sir. Anyway, that's not a tomorrow book. That is a today book. Have you checked into your tap water? Bottled water? Have you gone to the edge of the city you live in lately and looked at the air? Hmm? So that is not tomorrow. That is today. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
I'm sure I got the wrong number.
You must have. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Arbell. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
This is Richard. I'm calling from Roswell, New Mexico.
Yes, sir.
Home of Hangar 18 and Alien.
Yes, that's the place.
Well, I have one comment for you. I was talking to you a couple days ago about the Libertarian Party.
Yes.
And you said that...
they don't have a chance to win.
Yeah, and you were talking about legalization of all drugs.
Yes.
Someone had told me you support decriminalization
of marijuana
but not legalization.
That is correct.
What do you see as the difference between the two terms?
A very small difference, but an important one. Legalization would mean we'd have it sold in stores and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary. Marijuana grows freely in the ground. You want marijuana? Go throw seeds in the ground and water them. You'll get marijuana.
You don't think the government should sell it to make money to fight harder drugs?
No, I don't.
No, why not?
Because I don't think the government ought to be in the drug business at all.
Hmm. Well, I thought that might be a big help to the drug war, because I think some of the other drugs are worth fighting for.
Well, all right, thank you. I don't think that you embrace and tax a negative or even an evil, some might call it. I'm not saying marijuana is good. Booze is not good either. I'm only saying that marijuana, by definition, is probably less harmful than alcohol. So decriminalize it. What does that mean? Well, that means, much as they did at one time in Alaska, you simply say possession of certain amounts or growing it for yourself is cool. Do I want our government in the marijuana business, ostensibly to get money to fight other drugs, which I do want fought? No, I don't. It's like saying that I want state-sponsored liquor stores, and they've got those in some places in the Northeast, I believe, to this day. The answer to that is, no, I don't. I don't think the government should be in the business of selling alcohol or drugs. First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Jeff calling from Safford, Arizona. How you doing tonight, Art?
Fine, Jeff.
Good, good. I don't have a radio in my house. I just I work out of my truck quite a bit and drive around, and was listening to you talk a little bit earlier, and you were discussing a bit of your frustration with the American people over the 17-point lead that Bill Clinton still maintains over...
In the very same poll that showed 7 out of 10 people think that Bill Clinton used those files for political purpose, yes.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you my point of view. I support Bill Clinton
okay.
in this election, and honestly, I wish I had someone else to support. I can't align myself with the Republican Party, and there's one reason why. And tell me what you think. It's religious freedom. I'm not a Christian, and I feel I'm a very moral person. I just don't base my morality on the Judeo-Christian structure that most Americans do, I guess.
And yet, I would imagine that if you are a moral person, you would have a hard time drawing a distinction between, say, what's outlined in the Ten Commandments and what you feel personally.
True. True. I believe that there's a lot of truth outlined in the Bible. I just also feel that there's a lot of heresy involved with it as well. I have read the Bible. I've read it in two languages, cover to cover, and have gone through different times in my life where I did align myself more as a Christian.
Right.
However, I just really feel that that the Christian Coalition and the Republican Party are just too closely tied together.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Ralph Reed's. As a matter of fact, lately he's been annoying me.
Is there?
Yeah.
You know, he's been annoying me for a while as well. And it seems that too many people in this country are just looking for somebody to blame their problems on instead of taking personal responsibility.
That's
and,
true.
And it's just my belief that, you know, and not all, I don't mean to speak poorly of Christians, because there's a lot of wonderful truth-seeking people out there who are Christians, friends of mine.
Right.
I just... I don't like the whole structure being based on blame, and I've been a Democrat all my life. I wish that Bill Clinton had behaved differently on many instances. I think he sat on the fence with the gay issue in the military. He had an opportunity, you know, he fired a Surgeon General because she talked about masturbation. You know, I just could not believe that either. And this file thing, I have problems with that as well. I can't align myself with the Republican platform right now, based mostly on the fact that I think that there's too many people within the Republican Party that are leaning away from the separation of church and state.
So what you're really complaining about is Bill Clinton doesn't have the strength of his own supposed convictions.
Right, absolutely.
Well, you're correct.
And, you know, but at the same time, at least those supposed convictions I agree with. And it's very disappointing to me. You know, I really wish that we had another choice. I can't see myself voting for Bob Dole. I don't know what his vision is for America, and I'm not sure he knows either. I love the facts, by the way.
I did too. Thank you very much for the call. Look, I basically agree with you, not in sharing the convictions that you wish Bill Clinton had, but I agree with you with regard to his personality and that of Bob Dole. And anyway, I'm fed up with politics again. Took me how long? One day. One day. And I'm fed up. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Art. Good to talk to you.
And to you.
Thanks. I just get so frustrated and so sad when I hear so many people saying they're going to vote for Clinton because Dole just doesn't have it. And I think, you know, people are expecting so much out of Dole.
Well,
they're not getting a bit more out of Clinton.
But they have a right to expect something from Bob Dole. And that man and this faxer were not all wrong. Bob Dole has not yet, to my satisfaction, ever expressed any kind of vision that he has for where he will take us if he becomes president, what America's future is. There's none of that. And doggone it, he's going to have to tell us.
Well, but Clinton doesn't do any better, do you think?
I mean, well, yeah, rhetorically, with his rhetoric, he does, yes.
In fact, the vision he has, I think if it is enunciated at all, or it actually comes through pretty subtly, but it's dangerous to me. I mean, we know enough of his vision, I do, that I don't want it.
Okay, well, then how do you account for the fact that 7 out of 10 Americans, almost, said, oh, yes, you know, they were going after dirt, we believe that, but 17% still separate Bill Clinton and Bob Dole. Now, how do you account for that?
Well, thank you. That's really what I wanted to call about initially. I think that more and more, and it's among younger people, but I think it's older people, too. I think there's an apathy setting in.
You betcha.
Yeah, there's so much of a...
In other words, that's politics. Everybody does it. Might as well keep Bill Clinton as anybody else. I've got to run to you. I'm at the top of the hour. Thank you very much for the call. You said it very well.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 26, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell, and we're talking about many things. The FBI files hearings, file hearings, I guess. Well, files. Many files, 700 files, a lot of files. What a mess that was. What a joke it was. I watched yesterday morning on CNN, and apparently I didn't miss much on C-SPAN because they didn't carry it, and I was absolutely astounded. They fought like cats and dogs. Nothing much was accomplished. Apologies were demanded, not given. People yelled at each other and interrupted each other. It sounded like a sort of a version of a debate with Charlie. Everybody wanted to know who fired, who hired Craig Livingstone, and they asked everybody, and everybody gave long answers, frustrating the chairman, who kept saying, yes or no, yes or no. nobody could give a yes or no. I said, well, why didn't they just ask Craig Livingstone who hired him? And I must have missed it. It must have been when CNN cut away, because I didn't see that. I didn't see him. Apparently, he said he couldn't recall who hired him. Now, do you think that if you were hired at the White House, you could remember who hired you? Do you think you'd likely remember who hired you to come to work at the White House? Or would that be a I don't recall matter? Then there was a special moment when Mr. Livingstone was reminded that Admiral Borda committed suicide for an offense less significant than the one he committed. And he looked thunderstruck like he ought to go fall on a sword. I wonder if he'll make it through the night. The whole thing was a mess. CNN kept cutting away, going to the president again and again and again, making his comments about what happened in Saudi Arabia. And they, of course, again and again and again showed the big hole. And it is a big hole in Saudi Arabia. And so you didn't get to see a lot of the hearings in the first place. It was a genuine mess, actually. So I'm disgusted once again tonight with politics. I mean, disgusted. I really, really thought, naive me, that the American people would realize this is a very serious breach of personal security. And apparently they have realized that, so on that point I'm not disappointed. The NBC Wall Street Journal poll, as of last night, is most incredible. It showed that 68% of the American people, damn near 7 out of 10, believe the Clinton administration had these files to glean information on their political enemies. That's almost 7 out of 10 of the American people. But the other half of the poll shows that President Clinton continues to lead Bob Dole by 17 percentage points. So, what do we conclude? Ooh, much brain work required. Seems as though the American people, on the one hand, do think the Clinton administration did a terrible thing, but on the other, don't care. Either that or dislike Bob Dole so much that no matter what Bill Clinton would do, short of child molestation, he will remain president. That's about all I can conclude. And so, once again, tonight I'm thoroughly disgusted with politics. And, oh, yes, they passed a measure in the House. The Supreme Court actually did this, allowing political parties to spend yet more money to help elect their congressional candidates. So I'm just, I've had it, politics. I thought last night we really had something, and today seems gone. Then I noted that somebody had been sending me email saying the guests on Nightline never blink. And I think it is true. I've seen a lot on it. The guests on Nightline never blink. Watch Nightline and see for yourself. Sam from Glendale says the guests on Nightline are blinking. It's just that all the viewers can't see them blink because they're blinking at the same time. This is far more mysterious than meets the eye. Art, after listening to your program the past few nights, I am so disgusted at the so-called ethics displayed by the reigning leader and his miserable wife, I can only say this. I wish to God the ghost of each and every person who assisted in creating our democracy and signed the Declaration of Independence, plus each president, vice president, and ladies of same, plus all lawyers of reasonable character, if there is such thing, were to meet smack next to the bed of oil-tongued Willie and his wife, wake them up, and proceed to tap dance in and out of their heads, terrifying them so badly, they pack their bags the next morning and blow Washington and head for the backwoods of Arkansas. Then we were talking about DNA codes. And there, I got a fax that said that DNA codes never proceed, never go to the next generation, never improve themselves, but only degrade. Somebody from Washington writes, our DNA codes are understood by our scientists about as well as their study black holes. The cell DNA has over 100,000 instructions, and to try to understand the variety and complexity of all this would be like having total knowledge of how the universe operates. So what if a few strands are supposedly disintegrating? Maybe the other latent 10 will kick in, and we finally will become aware. So, we're talking about a 4.5 earthquake in Markleeville, California, about an hour ago. Mammoth also has been shaking. Dean from Kauai makes that observation. One more item. Somebody called and said there is a big computer or database in the basement of the White House called Big Brother. I haven't heard of this, but here comes another fact. Art, I also heard of the database Big Brother. What differs this in sharp contrast to the FBI files is that only Bill and Hillary and a very small handful of top administration officials have access to it. CNN was selective coverage and information screening at its best. Yes, it was. I saw an entire 30-minute segment of Talk Back Live with no interruptions. During the OJ trial, there was not this degree of bouncing back and forth with trivial live coverage and old news recaps. I could not agree more. I was so angry at CNN yesterday I could have spit. But, why ruin the rug? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. How are you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I thought I'd bring you some refreshing news to your politics.
All right. Turn your radio off. That's
sorry about that, Art.
Everybody knows that.
All right. You had a boy, I think he taxed you, about having a middle-class person run for Congress?
Well, he said, could somebody without a lot of money run? Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I am running for Congress, and I tell you, it's been quite an ordeal.
But he wanted to know whether somebody could actually run and win.
Well, I think I can win. I think the struggle is being able to get my name on the ballot. They have a few obstacles. One of them is a large filing fee.
Well, you see, right away you've got a problem. If you can't afford the filing fee, the odds are your TV commercials are not going to be really plentiful.
Right. Well, now what I did is I filed a suit in the federal court asking them to rule it unconstitutional.
What, the filing fee?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a barrier.
But let us assume that you won that, okay?
Okay.
And that all filing fees were erased.
Right.
How would that help you?
Well, I think it would allow people that are not wealthy to be able to enter into politics.
It would allow them to file.
Right.
They wouldn't win.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that. I presume what you were going to ask me. And let's take this for example. If you go into the voting booth and you have the option of voting for a career politician, like the fellow I'm running against in Northern California, and he has been in there for 8 years, and he's a moderate Republican, and I'm a conservative Republican, but I'm a construction worker, a carpenter, a logger, and a shipyard worker. And if you had the option of voting, you know, taking the political climate in America today, if you had the option of voting for a career politician or a common guy, I think I'd stand a pretty good chance.
I would say you perhaps once could have won in Poland, not here.
In Poland.
There's a shipyard worker that won there once. But, frankly, I don't, you know, I think the answer is a kind of a depressing, I'm sorry, without Buffs, you're dead duck.
Well, I believe that, but I believe in Providence, too. You know, a lot of people call this America an experiment, and I don't think it's an experiment. I think it's Providence, and I think that's going to be the solution in our country. One of the solutions is that we need to get common people in the government, and, I mean, as a real radical example, I think we ought to have politicians and all government employees be like jury duty, where that you go and you serve your 4 years and get out and get rid of this cronyism that's going on in there. I mean, for a real quick example to you, I think there's a crimes that are going on in America that a lot of people are not aware of, and one of them has to do with secretaries and clerks and people that are next to people in positions of power that have been in there for 30, 40 years, and they have their own little clique of, you know, who they let in, who they don't, how they treat, who they treat fairly,
yep,
and who they don't.
Yep.
And I think we've got to stop.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. But that's like calling for motherhood and apple pie, and I see no realistic way to do it. I don't disagree. I'm fully aware of the entrenched bureaucrats that really run things, staffs that really run things. But that's going to be about as easy to change as the money, the mother's milk of, you know, it is the mother's milk of politics, and always will be, unless we want to change America into the kind of country that none of us really want. Think about it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Yes, I think I have an answer to your question about who hired
Craig Livingstone. Really?
Yeah. Bill's been about one person away from being nailed on anything he's ever done.
Uh-huh. And may always be.
What?
And may always be.
Well, I don't think this time, because they're trying to find out who to blame it on. I don't think... Normally, you know, you've got McDougal, okay? He's one person away from Bill. Hillary, she's been nailed numerous times.
Not really nailed.
Well, in the process of being nailed.
Mentioned.
Well, I think they've got...
Mentioned, sir. Mentioned. No indictments.
It's a matter of time.
No indictments, no grand juries yet have said, even an unindicted co-conspirator, no. Still, as you pointed out at the beginning, one person away.
But they've always had somebody right away to blame it on besides Bill.
Anything short of child molestation, and I am becoming convinced that the Clintons are going to remain right where they are. You got a good argument? You got any good argument against that?
Well, just the simple fact that they've always come up with a name at least before. And this time they don't have a name. Nobody's going to say it. because the only people that really know are going to have to say Bill. They can't say anybody else, or they would have already. And they're probably being pressured to
say it's an interesting
somebody,
point. Well, somebody sent me a fax and said Livingstone himself couldn't remember who hired him.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
No, I don't know if it's true. I didn't see it myself on CNN.
True.
Couldn't be. I mean, how could you forget who hired you into the White House?
Well, he can't say who did it because Bill did.
Well, no, he wouldn't have done that. There would be several people between Bill Clinton and the hiring of Craig Livingstone, whoever did it. It might have been, for example, I would imagine the president's chief of staff would have done such a thing. But I don't know for sure. All I know is maybe it doesn't matter. If the American people don't view this as a problem, don't view the president's dalliances as a problem, don't view the sexual harassment lawsuit that is pending as a problem, don't view his dodging the military as a problem, then short of child molestation or something, maybe murder, there is going to be Bill Clinton in the White House once again. And I have got a terrible, well-said facts here that I'll read you again about Bob Dole. It's the doggonest facts I've ever read, and you might be challenged to disagree with it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, this is Jack in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hi, Jack.
Hello. I think I can explain. The better question would be not who hired Mr. Livingstone, but how did he come to get his job? And by the way, if Bob Dole were on Nightline, he blinks about 160 times a minute. I counted it.
Really?
Yes. Oh, he blinks very frequently.
Well, maybe somebody else sent me some email and said that they have a special blink eraser on Nightline.
Oh, be sure to watch if Bob Dole is on.
And so maybe they turn off the blink eraser when Bob Dole's on.
Anyway, according to the testimony they can get in between constantly being interrupted by the Republicans, I think that William Kennedy testified that originally Mr. Livingstone worked for the inauguration for security.
Yes, but then...
And then later volunteered to work in the personnel.
Who accepted that volunteer of Mr. Livingstone's?
Well, that...
See, nobody, as long as I was watching, I couldn't discern that anybody admitted hiring him. The president's former attorney took responsibility for it, but he just sort of said, well, he was here when I got there.
Well, like I said, he was accepted as a volunteer, and of course you're going to say Mr. Foster's dead, but Vince Foster, he recommended the hiring of Mr. Livingstone. While FBI check was being done on him was when William Kennedy was hired. And at first, Mr. Kennedy said that he had hired him.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's more or less he was recommended for it, check was done, and then he was in the job. As far as those Secret Service, their list, according to the woman, Lisa... Oh, what was her name?
It doesn't matter.
Wetzel, who
testified. Pretty good-looking gal. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, very nice-looking. She said that file, that list was in the vault, and she said it was distinct Secret Service computer printout, green and white.
Yeah, you know, I know, but the Secret Service, sir, said it could not possibly have... They specifically said, as a matter of fact, it could not possibly have come from any of their computers. You know what? It's getting to the point where I don't care. How about that? It's getting to the point, I swear to you, where I don't care. It's not going to make any difference, obviously. Nobody's going to get nailed. Livingstone has quit. And I'm feeling very apathetic about it once again, and I'm tempted to read this about Bob Dole again. It's pretty eerily and hurtfully right on, and maybe after the bottom of the hour, maybe at the top, I'll read it. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going there, Mr. Urbel?
It's going all right.
This is Mark calling from the fine city of Seattle, Washington.
Yes.
listening to you on Como. Now, you know something that's funny that I was just thinking about? Where is Vice President Al Gore in the middle of all this? I have not heard a peep out of this man for, like, the last 4 years.
I know.
Much.
What do you figure he's up to?
Yeah, I haven't. Well, I mean, I know he's very involved with environmental issues. I know he's terribly interested in education issues. And I know when he was in Tennessee, or when he was a senator from Tennessee, that he was also very involved in those issues, and he had a lot of what some people would term wild and wacky projects going on, unusual concepts about the way the environment, you know, certain environmental issues should be.
Well, I'll tell you, sir. Listen on the air. No, here's the way it runs. During the campaign, you hear a lot from the vice president. Okay. But traditionally, and this is really steeped in great tradition, after a administration is ensconced, and after the first 90 or 100 days, the vice president, by tradition, is supposed to step back and not be heard from. And Al Gore, in that great tradition, has stepped back, and we don't hear a thing from him, and I don't think we will until it's campaign time once again. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Art.
How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you. About the racism, and you feel it's a different type than it was in the past.
Oh, I do.
Well, in the 20s, there seemed to be a parallel with now times. Now, a bunch of Republican presidents, certain group of people, Republicans, got richer and richer and richer, just like now we're... Republicans getting richer and richer and richer.
The rich have always become richer.
Wait a minute. They had the laissez-faire, trickle-down policy then.
They know how to make money.
And they had a group called conservative naturalists who were like the Christian right. They had a guy named Evans who was against immigration and of people of, you know, say, dark skin. But they liked it when white Europeans came over.
Mm-hmm.
And the same as... the racism of the KKK. They had the flappers who represent the majority of people at the time.
Right, you are. Listen, I've got to run, dear. I still maintain the racism today, such as it is more like a blind hatred. It's not at all what it was when it was mainly segregationist. We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
David, I have confirmation. David, thank you. He says, Art, the Washington Times today reported the story of the Big Brother database. I guess allegedly down in the basement of the White House, a giant mainframe, probably next generation Cray, keeping track on all of us, exclusively available. Probably by handprint and retinal print, only to the First Lady and to the President, and selected people who need dirt. Big Brother. Big Brother database. Boy, wouldn't you like to hack your way into that one. Oh, my. Art, how many times do I have to tell you? Clinton's got away with it because the bulls are running in the market. People are making money. They just don't care. James in Denver, Colorado. James... I suspect you're right. And if our interest in politics in America has been reduced to the pocketbook, and completely to the pocketbook, in other words, if I'm doing okay, I'm okay, you're okay, you can stay in the White House as long as people are making money. If that's what it's come to, then so be it. And that just reinforces my complete disconnection lately with politics. It's getting to where I hate it. I almost liked it yesterday because I thought, aha! You know, the truth will cometh, the people will seeth, and Bill Clinton will goeth. But none of that has happened. As a matter of fact, again, In case you tuned in late, the latest survey, NBC Wall Street Journal survey, shows 68%, damn near 7 out of 10 people, think the Clinton administration had these FBI files to get information on political opponents. Dirt. 68%. However, that very same poll also shows Bill Clinton leading Bob Dole by 17 points. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Art.
Hello.
This is Ron again from 29 Palms.
Yes, Ron.
In answer to your question, I think you've forgotten about the politics of last year. And prior to the end of last year, President Clinton's numbers weren't that high. They were in the high 30s, low 40s.
That's correct.
And when the bill was presented by the Senate and the Congress, Bob Dole and Newt Gingrich got to his desk and he vetoed it, that's when the president's numbers started to soar. And they've stayed up ever since.
True again.
And I think that in the back of people's minds that they're afraid that if Bob Dole gets in, it'll be a rubber stamp of the Newt Gingrich revolution.
That may be. That may be. They might be wrong about that, by the way. In fact, I'm not altogether certain I know what Bob Dole would do if he became president. He hasn't really told us, and I don't really know.
Well, it's interesting. Last year, he stood shoulder to shoulder with Newt on most of the news conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And when it became apparent that it wasn't working toward the end of the year, he kind of distanced himself from Newt.
That's my point.
And, just...
So as president, then, how would he position himself? I don't think that is at all clear.
Well, he's following, and he's made this known to his people, and it's kind of leaked out, that he's following the Richard Nixon strategy. And that is, for the primary, you go to the right. For the general election, you go to the center to win the election.
Well, that's not Nixon's strategy, sir. That's all-time presidential politics strategy.
Well, that's what Nixon wrote to him.
That's what Clinton's doing. He's going to the center. In fact, if Bob Dole's not careful, he'll be run over by Bill Clinton. Don't laugh.
Well, I just feel that, if you remember in 1994, when the Republicans took over the House and the Senate,
yes,
it was with a 21% victory.
Yes.
Out of a 38% electorate that turned out to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And when this came down last year and there was like 78% of the people that were against the Republicans' bills that went to the president, that's a good majority of the country. That's a good majority of the people. So I'm kind of believing that no matter what Clinton does, people are still afraid. Well, just look at Newt Gingrich's poll. He's down to 24%.
I know. I think I know how to run for president now and win.
How's that?
You promise free money, free food, free homes, free education, a free life. Now, how's that?
Well, somebody's got to pay for it.
Why think about that? Thank you for the call.
Okay.
Have a good morning. Pay for it? Somebody has to pay for it? Generation, what comes after Generation X? Y? Is that what we're going to call them? Generation Y? Why are we here? Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
How are you?
Oh, I've been trying to get a hold of you for a long time now. Thank you very much.
Sure.
The other day, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, you had a fellow on there who was talking about confiscations.
Yes.
And
he was talking about, for example, an apartment building, a commercial building being confiscated because one tenant would have drugs. And I kind of poo-pooed that, and I said,
show me an example.
Show me an example, I said.
Okay,
yes.
Now what I want to do is I want to give you an example of buildings that are owned by landlords that are confiscated by because the tenants in it were dealing drugs, okay?
Wait a minute. There would be one caveat here. If the owner could be proven to be aware that the drug dealing was going on and doing nothing about it, then he could be legally considered to be in complicity.
Well, what actually happened was in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes.
They took and they said the landlord was possibly aware.
Ah, ha, ha.
Okay.
That's different.
But the landlord was not in complicity in any way or making any profit off of it, as far as they could prove or anything else. And they bulldozed those homes that had been rented to people who were dealing drugs out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a big deal out of it. However, they got into a little bit of a jam over it. And
It's beginning to get in an obviously very gray area. But if you can prove that a landlord is part of the setup...
No, they never proved that the landlords were part of the setup or anything like that. All they did was prove that drugs were being dealt out of there, and he didn't evict the tenants. Now, can you imagine evicting a drug dealer? Would you want to do it? I would think.
Are you asking, do I think it should be done? The answer is
yes, I think it should be done. But would you want to go to the house and say, hey, I'm going to throw you out, you're a drug dealer?
No, I'd want the cops to do it.
That's right, and that's whose responsibility it is.
Right.
And they not only have the responsibility to evict him, but to arrest him. And they're negating their responsibility in the St. Louis area anyway, because they're blaming it all on the landlords and they're bulldozing the homes. And the fact of the matter is they have the responsibility if they know they're dealing drugs.
Yeah, I hear you.
Why don't
they
arrest them?
It is a shifting of responsibility. I understand what you're saying. And it gets into a very gray area. I think, though, that as a general rule, landlords have not lost buildings because tenants have been dealing drugs when they were not aware of it. Now, if they were aware of it, or worse yet, part of it, then they deserve to lose those buildings, in my opinion. Video anomalies. Do people on Nightline never blink? I'm very interested in that. I don't know why. Do they have a blink eraser on Nightline so that all the people, or perhaps just those they wish to look particularly honest, are never seen to blink? Maybe they can even take care of flinches. Video anomalies. There are many. Given a little time, I'm sure I... Oh, I'll tell you another one. Do you ever watch Tom Brokaw? Tom Brokaw, in motion, in other words, in normal motion, in normal video, looks fine. Very credible. You want to try something? An experiment? Try it for me. Tell me I'm not right. Record the NBC Evening News with Tom Brokaw. And then at any moment you choose, if you've got a forehead VCR and you can get a frameless still picture, freeze the picture. Brokaw sort of looks like somebody from Mad Magazine. Anytime you freeze his picture, he really looks weird. But when in motion, he looks fine. And yet, no matter when you will choose to do a freeze frame on Tom Brokaw, he has a stupid expression on his face. It's really weird. Anomalies. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
This is Don. Art, how you doing tonight?
I am fine, Don.
Yeah, I'm calling from New Orleans.
Yes, sir.
This will blow your mind. At the end of Nightline tonight, they interviewed Orrin Hatch. Of course, they split the program between the bombing and the Filegate deal.
All right.
And then they interviewed Orrin Hatch.
Yes.
He says, well, our hearings are starting Friday in the Senate Judiciary Committee. And he says, incidentally, we have found 200 more files.
Making what, the total about 900 now?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Livingstone did answer the question. They showed where he did answer the question. They kept pressing him, and he tried to filibuster. He says, all I want is a yes or no. All I want is a yes or no. And I said, he said, who hired you? Do you know who hired you? He said, yes. He says, who? He says, I believe it was Mr. Kennedy.
Really?
And then he turns over to Mr. Kennedy. He says, Mr. Kennedy, did you hire this man? And then Kennedy started to filibuster. He says, I don't want to waste my time on your answer. Just yes or no. And Kennedy said, Well, yeah, yes. And he said, well, I'll take that as a yes. So
I missed all that. Now, when did that occur? Was that late in the afternoon or something?
Yeah, it was late.
Well, maybe I was asleep.
Yeah. And something else about the polls that I found out. This guy who is a poll expert, he says he discovered that most of these polls, the Democratic electorate makes up about 34%. And says typically these polls include higher percentage of Democrats than independents or other affiliations.
Well,
so I mean that would account for.
It would wait a minute. Yes, that would account for it if it's true, but I don't believe it. They must, to claim a scientific poll, do a scientific sample.
Well, this guy is a professional, His figures were...
Well, all right, sir. Let me ask you.
Hold it a minute.
Let's back up a little bit. Let's go to the NBC Wall Street Journal poll yesterday, last night, all right?
Yeah.
68% of the American people think those files were grabbed by the Democrats for political gain. All right? That means the American people believe they were up to no good, right?
That's right.
You believe that? Do you believe that they were up for dirty tricks? Do you believe the poll result that says almost 7 out of 10 believe the Democrats were up to no good? Hello?
7 out of 10 Democrats were up to no good?
No. 7 out of 10 Americans say the Democrats were up to no good. Do you believe that poll?
Yeah.
You do. All right. The same poll says that President Clinton still leads Bob Dole by 17%. Do you believe that?
No.
All right. Have a good morning, sir, and thank you very much for the call. You just illustrated my point perfectly. People believe what they want to believe. I happen to believe the polls myself. I believe they're accurate. I believe they're right. This man just disbelieved half of exactly the same people that were polled. He believed the part he wanted to believe and disbelieved the part that he was unwilling to accept. I don't do that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
How you doing, Art?
Okay.
I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan.
Yes, sir.
I listen to you regularly.
WJR.
WJR and 3WE and that station in Rochester. And
there you go.
Anyway, I'm calling regarding Bob Dole and his electability. First of all, I voted for him in the primaries, but
right.
As it appears, he's really given the people nothing that... I really don't know what he stands for. By the way, I don't mind admitting it.
I also voted for Bob Dole in the primaries.
And, you know, he's a great guy. You know, he's a superb guy. He served our country in the military.
Mm-hmm.
He's a war hero.
Yes.
Yet when it comes down to it, you know, he just says, well, Bob Dole stands for, you know, clean air and good schools. He never really goes into it.
I know.
He never really articulates what would make a person want to vote for him.
I know.
And, you know, an interesting thing about Bob Dole is, remember during the Republican debates down there in Georgia where Alan Keyes was trying to break in?
Yes.
Bob Dole was invited to that debate. He was invited to the debates there in Iowa. And as I recall, Bob Dole did not attend any of the debates.
Mainly correct, yes.
And the thing is, if he didn't debate then, what makes him think he'll win against Clinton? And I think Clinton's a lot more articulate and a lot more slick than Dole, and I think Clinton will be reelected. It's unfortunate, but it's going to happen.
I agree. I mean, straight down the line, I agree. Did you hear the facts I read about Bob Dole earlier?
No, I didn't.
Well, there won't be time for me to get it in, and so I'll try and get it in tomorrow for you. How's that?
Okay, that's great.
All right, my friend. Nice talking to you, Art. Yep, good talking to you, and I agree with you. I'm sorry. That is my assessment. I've said it many times here. I wish I could interview Bob Dole. I'm not sure that I could get from him what others have been unable to, but I think I might be able to if the conditions were right, you know, if they'd give me more than about a half hour. If I had a good couple of hours with Bob Dole, at least I could believe I could get to the point where I could make a decision about the man myself. I voted for him in the primary because there was, in my opinion, no choice. I will vote for him in the general, again, because in my opinion, there will be, unless there is a political miracle, unlikely, no choice. But I will not do so happily unless I'm able to understand more about Bob Dole. God, I'd love to interview that guy. I have a request into his headquarters, and we'll see where it goes, if anywhere, ever. I think that what he needs to do is get on a program like this, maybe sit at home on the phone in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and tell us all what he would do for America, what he wants, why he wants to be president. A reason beyond a wonderful cap on a great career. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Turn your radio off, please.
Yeah, just hit the button.
There you are.
That sucker's one of them. That
actually, where are you? Where are you?
I'm in Nebraska.
Okay.
And I'm George.
Hi, George.
You know, I kind of think, as bad as it is, our regular parties, even if the little Texan could get Quayle to run on his ticket, he'd win.
Well, you know, you might have a point. I don't know. I voted for Ross Perot last time round.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not altogether sure that I wouldn't do it again, because circumstances now are about as dire as they were then.
Yeah.
Remember that?
It'd be hard to get worse, but I still don't understand how the economy seems to be as good as it is, and the politics in Washington are as bad as they are.
Well, I think the answer to that is the president is not as relative,
he's a figurehead.
As relevant as you might think he is.
Yeah, he's more a figurehead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what's going on behind the scene that's carrying the economy rather than the president himself.
Mm-hmm. I believe that may be so, sir. Maybe we all worry too much about who is president. Maybe it doesn't matter that much.
I've been wondering about that, too, that it's not the politics or the politicians that are running the country. It's the people behind them. I had a friend that was up in Alaska. He was a doctor of economics.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted him to run for governor.
Right.
And he said, no way.
Mm-hmm.
I can lead far better from behind.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't run.
I don't...
And I think it's the same story.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. People have called me and said, thank you, why don't you run? I want to run. Don't want to be a politician. Wouldn't want to have to do what they do. Couldn't do what they do. And I'm far happier doing what I do.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 26, 1996.
And I bid you a very good morning. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. We are talking of many things. Actually, in a way, politics once again, but from a different slant. I'm kind of just all disgusted with everybody politically today. I watched the hearings yesterday, such as they were, in and out, preempted consistently on CNN. By scenes of the president repeating again and again and again and again, saying, when you attack one American, you attack them all. While true, didn't need to be said that many times, didn't need to interrupt the hearing that many times. I saw that crater in Saudi Arabia about 25 times during the time I should have been able to see the hearings. And what I did see of the hearings, I thought was ridiculous. Ridiculous. I never did really find out, and I've had a lot of different stories on who did hire Mr. Livingstone, who yesterday, right in the middle of the hearings, resigned from his White House position, followed by a statement of surprise, possibly even shock from the White House. Right. Art, I'm reviewing a tape of today's hearing. It is Representative Christopher Shays, Republican of Connecticut, which asked the question of Mr. Livingstone and Mr. Kennedy, who hired you, Mr. Livingstone? He replied, Mr. Kennedy. Shays, Mr. Kennedy, did you hire Mr. Livingstone? Kennedy implied it was Vince Foster who hired Livingstone. The heated exchange took 3 minutes, 32 seconds. At one point, Shays says, Mr. Kennedy, I will use all of my time for you to answer this one simple question. And so, apparently, it really, really never did get answered, unless you want to believe that it was Vince Foster. And I marveled. I absolutely marveled. Now, I never saw that part. I guess I didn't stay up late enough to see the part where they finally asked Mr. Livingstone. But I was wondering, why didn't they do that at the beginning? They asked everybody else who absolutely refused to answer with a yes or no, every last one of them, to the extreme frustration of the chairman, who's going nuts, and then getting criticized because he was going nuts, trying to get a yes or no answer out of somebody. And so the whole thing was a charade, and then CNN made it more of a charade, in my opinion, by cutting out constantly to go and review things that we had seen 43 times already. So I was pretty angry yesterday, and that's probably reflected in what I'm saying this morning. I'm not happy. I'm not happy. Not a happy camper. The NBC Wall Street Journal survey yesterday said it was a two-part survey. This will blow you away. 68% of the American people said, yes, they think the Clinton administration used those files for political purpose. That's almost 7 out of 10 Americans think that the Clinton administration did that. Pretty serious, huh? And so then the second part of the poll should knock your socks off. Fully a 17-point lead or preference remains for Bill Clinton over Bob Dole. 17 points. Same survey, same respondents, incredible answer. So what does that mean? It means, yes, they think they did a dirty deed. But no, they don't think it's worth a changing presidents over. That means the American people accept what has been done. The president admitted virtually a dalliance on 60 Minutes, you'll recall. The American people accepted that, forgave, and voted him president. The American people considered the fact that he evaded duty in Vietnam and thought about it and forgave him and made him president. And now the American people find that our president, or at least his administration, has used, at least in the American people's view, these files for political purpose, dirty dealing, dirt digging, and all the rest of it, but still they want him as president. So, I am disgusted with politics and, frankly, with both sides right now. Dear Art, I can't and don't imagine where this country is going when Americans don't care about violations about their own privacy and rights. My right to privacy is nearly as important as my freedom of speech. I don't want people knowing where I eat, sleep, and what I do 24 hours a day unless I want them to know. Maybe the reason people aren't really concerned about FileGate is because the media is not making a big deal about it. Well, maybe so. And then we got word about Big Brother. Big Brother is a database allegedly in the basement of the White House. And apparently, Bill and Hillary and a very small handful of privy people can go down and consult Big Brother about God knows what. Maybe you. Maybe me. No doubt me. That's for sure. And enemies of the Clinton administration. Big Brother. Cray Part 2. Cray 3 generations later. Sitting down there ticking and twitching and jumping around and divulging whatever information is requested by those who have sufficient clearance to ask for it. In the basement of the White House. Probably the old digs of Ollie North. Who knows? Then I got this fax that I think you ought to hear from Sean in Yucca Valley. It is very cynical with regard to Bob Dole, but I think you ought to listen in. If you want to take issue with it, then you may do so. Art, Bob Dole's twitchy television persona, which I have long observed on the Sunday morning political programs, has always been a strong argument for switching to decaffeinated coffee. His impressive intellect and political expertise, however, were never in doubt. Who is this imposter we now see on our televisions, with his strained, painfully fake smile, who seems so sadly unsure of himself, so tired, so awkward, so prone to verbal misfires, so horribly and unacceptably ancient? Dole's fire seems fizzled, his sparkle spent. I believe what we are witnessing, Art, is a strong, decent, and formally effective man who's begun to lose his faculties at a very embarrassing and inopportune moment in his life. The Bob Dole of 10 or even 5 years ago would be giving Clinton a run for his money. This flaccid, forced, sunset years Bob Dole, in his dependency, no, make that descendancy, I'm sorry, is a shadow of his former self and likely to get progressively worse. Put the honorable old warrior out to pasture, out of ours and his misery, or there's going to be a lot more iron poor blood spilled during the remainder of the campaign. Well, that's pretty rough, but it may be accurate. And then a lot of people are annoyed with me for not taking a position strongly on the side of Bob Dole. Well, I voted for Bob Dole in the primary, and I probably am going to vote for him in the general, but not with enthusiasm. Not if I had to vote as of this moment. That's when they do all their survey. You know, if you had to vote now, who would you vote for? And I would have to say, well, Bob Dole. But sure as hell, not with enthusiasm. So I'm not here, you know, to, I guess, tell you what you want to hear, and it will be disappointing for some of you, but as of this juncture, as of this moment, I am disgusted with Bob Dole, with politics, and even more so with Bill Clinton. Now, something may come along to change that. I don't know, but it sure as hell didn't today. So in a moment, back to open lines. Your assessment of Bob Dole's right on the mark, and I agree as a Kansan, signed Joe, KCMO. Dear Art, in the past few days, most of the conservative talk show hosts have been wondering out loud, have they, why Clinton's support is so strong in the face of serious accusations made against him lately. I think it is not so hard to understand. I support Clinton partly because of the policies he has enacted. What would those be? And partly because of policies I hope he will enact. Gun control, a good economy, the environment. Well, we've got a good economy. He can't enact that. He can't even ruin it. Well, he could ruin it, I guess. The environment? Well, I support the environment, too. I also support him because he is my main defense against the Republicans and what I feel would be policies they'd set in motion if they got more power than they have now. I might vote for another Democrat in the primaries if I knew about Clinton what I know now. But it would take an awful lot more negative information than has appeared to date to make me vote Republican, or not vote at all. Try to turn it around. If Dole were the president, and he were running for re-election, and Clinton's accusations were Dole's, would you vote Democrat? Well, yeah, sure, I might. I mean, if Dole were president, and he had been doing all the things that Clinton has been doing, then yes, sure, I might vote Democrat, you never know. You know who I think would make a damn good president? Sam Nunn. You want to talk about a Democrat, be a good president? Sam Nunn. Now, why aren't the good people running? And I even extend that into the Republican Party. There's lots of good people we could have had run. I'm not saying Dole's a bad person. He's not. It's just that we could have run a lot of good people. A lot of good people. And they just didn't run. So it's kind of like Dole got it because of tenure or something. I don't know. I'm turned off to politics. I'm sorry. Today I've really had it. I've really had it. I mean, what went on yesterday in the hearing room was laughable. Pathetic. The way it was covered was laughable and pathetic. And the surveys that followed it were laughable and pathetic. Both of those words working for each category. Laughable and pathetic. It is laughable, indeed, that this president, charged with, in fact, seen to be doing all the things he's doing, remains the choice of the people, by not a small margin, but by a large one. If that changes, I will be the first person to show you the sound of one hand, at least, clapping. But I haven't seen that yet, and I see nothing to applaud about. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art. Cindy in Kansas City, Missouri.
Hello there.
Hi. Did I hear you say that you wanted to take away landlords' properties?
No. No, not at all. I said, if
people that live there are dealing drugs.
I said, if people who live in the property are dealing drugs, and the landlord is part of it, then yes, no problem.
Not only if he just knows about it.
Well, knowing about it, that's a gray area. If he's part of it, then I think the building ought to go. If he's aware of it, then he ought to call the cops. What do you think?
Well, I think that you would run into a lot of trouble, especially when you get into the HUD housing project. You know, what's good for the people ought to be good for the government, too.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do in that kind of case?
It's a good question. I would say in the HUD projects, there's been quite a considerable effort to evict those who are known to be dealing drugs. And they've been doing that on a fairly regular basis in HUD.
Yes, they have also made it law now that police can go in and search in a HUD housing project without warrant.
No, that is not a law. The people who rent those places are required to sign something that allows them to do that.
But isn't that against people's...
Well, that's in the courts. Right. That's in the courts. But if it is a contractual, civil precondition to your renting that place, then I guess it can be done.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, I think Hillary, if she wants to talk to somebody that's dead, I think she ought to call on Houdini. Maybe he could tell her how to get out of this mess.
Well, Houdini or Richard Nixon, I'm sure, could advise her on what not to do.
I'm sure.
Thank you very much for the call. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning.
Hi.
Art, this is Clyde in Grand Theft.
Hello.
I agree with the decaf part. He looked really good on the decaf. Let's try some hot cocoa.
Mm.
Sweetness disposition.
Mm. I kind of like Bob Dole when he was at his grumpiest, nastiest, best. And he has decided instead to be a sort of a new, warm, fuzzy Bob Dole. Fuzzy is the key phrase here.
I like the old type better.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And he might have been viewed as mean-spirited, but at least the guy would have given Clinton a run for his money.
Yeah. Getting off Bob for a minute, the Chupacabra.
Yes.
You said that there was a sighting in Oregon.
Yes.
Where at?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Okay.
It didn't say.
Alrighty. Well, have a good one then, sir.
Alright, you too. And Chupacabra, you know, now that he mentioned Chupacabra, somebody sent me another Chupacabra song. It's a very short one, too. I wonder if I could play it. I've got it right here. I'm trying to get it out for you right now. I was waiting for someone to mention Chupacabra. Let me see if I can play this. Let's see what happens. No, that's the one we had before. I've got a new, somewhere I've got a new Chupacabra song. Oh, gee, what have I done with it? And I had it out, too. Well, I'll have to find it. I've got so much stuff around here. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Art, are you ever going to have Major Ed Dames on live again?
Sure.
That last program was a mind blower.
I know.
Art, I would really like to commend you for asking him about Jesus Christ. How about next time asking him about Satan?
Interesting. That would be interesting. Yes.
Thank you, Art.
All right. Take care. Yeah, that would be interesting. I did ask him about that, and I ought to ask him about Satan, too. What do you think? Is there a real Satan, a real, true, evil force, as real as people believe God to be? It is an intriguing question, isn't it? And I tend to believe there is, that there really is an evil force out there. There really is a Satan. I've always thought so. Why can I get this tape out and not back in again? There, see it. All right, first time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Art Bell?
That's me.
All right, Art. This is Joe, the Hollywood conservative.
All right.
I'm amazed I finally got through. I've been listening for 5 years now, and this is the first time I've tried calling.
Well, here you are.
Art, what I wanted to talk about was an amazing movie I saw yesterday.
What?
Independence Day.
Oh, you saw the opening to Independence Day?
Yes.
Ooh, you lucky sucker, you.
Yes, of course. I work in the industry, although I won't say exactly where.
All right, listen. First of all, obviously, you can't give away the plot.
All righty.
All right? I've got a copy of the script, so I could do the same thing, give away the plot. But
oh, okay. Well,
now,
I had the script a year ago, and it came across my desk. At the same time, you were talking about the alien autopsy.
I see. All right. Well, let's have your general overview of how cool ID4 was.
Well, it's like this. I work in the industry, and I read a lot of scripts, and I go to quite a few screenings, and
yes.
Quite often you run into this formulaic kind of
sure.
seen it before, done it before kind of thing.
Sure.
But when you run into a movie that, from start to finish, grabs you by the lapel, so to speak, and just doesn't let go, I've seen one other movie this year that kind of does that, and that was The Rock with Nicolas Cage, a action-packed movie that had a bunch of it was unpredictable, and this is from the very start, the special effects, you can almost guarantee an Oscar nomination for this.
All right. Having said that, I believe that certainly about the special effects. Without giving us an idea of the story or the plot line, how good is the acting? How good is the storyline itself?
Well, the storyline, the storyline, without giving away particulars, centers around.
No. I just want a rating, not
a rating.
Not a right.
A rating, I would give it a 9 on a scale of 10.
Mm.
I could see this being very huge with families and children, although there's a little bit of sultry language.
Would you say the movie of the year?
I don't know if I would go that far, although people who are interested in the entire UFO phenomenon and disorder.
Listen, can you afford to hold on? I've got some stuff I've got to do in a break at the bottom of the hour. Can you hold?
I'm standing by.
All right, stay right there. We're talking to a guy who's seen Independence Day.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 26, 1996.
Premier Network.
Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 26, 1996.
Once again, here I am, and here's the man who's seen Independence Day. Back on the air again, sir.
Okay.
Thank you for holding. I'm so jealous.
Okay.
I'd love to see that movie. And it was, you're saying it will not disappoint us.
Absolutely not. The characterizations were just fabulous. Will Smith, known to most of your audience as the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, does a star turn as a Marine Corps fighter pilot who is one of the heroes in the story. Jeff Goldblum, another one of the main characters and a hero in the story.
I've got to ask you this. Okay. How satisfying is it seeing the White House blown into little matchstick-sized pieces on the big screen?
Okay, this is amazing because Bill Pullman is the actor who portrays the president, and he has a very Clinton-esque quality to him as portrayed in this movie. He's described as idealistic, and he's got a female chief of staff, so automatically you get the impression this is a Democrat.
Yes.
Although that's where the similarities end, because he's also, according to the background of his character, he was also a former fighter pilot. However, he does have this youngish, 40-ish Clinton quality.
Call the wild card lines, area 702-727-1295.
Okay.
I had to bleep that.
Oh, okay.
We're starting to tell them things we should not tell
them. All right, I'm sorry.
As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure I wanted to know that.
Oh, okay. Well, you have the script, Art, so you would know it already.
Right? Yeah, well. All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. I do appreciate it. There is a man who has seen Independence Day, lives down in Hollywood, and, yeah, I knew the first showing of it was yesterday. I really am jealous. I'm dying to see that movie. I believe it will be the movie of the year. I've been hearing an undercurrent of pre-applause for this movie for a long time now. And if it lives up to the billing that it's been getting, it's going to be fabulous. It is going to also, I believe, move the thinking about aliens in a bit of a different direction. Up until now, contemporary motion pictures about aliens have tended to be sort of the warm, fuzzy little guys who some little child befriends and takes home and keeps in the closet with his stuffed toys. I think this will perhaps change that image. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Michael from Honolulu.
Hello, Michael.
And I just wondering if you caught in the kind of a what I consider the delicious irony about the spiritual advisor for Hillary.
Yes.
In that on her resume for her qualifications, she said she had two PhDs,
yeah.
And then it came out that the second one she said was a clerical error, wasn't exactly a second PhD, and then the very next day it turned out that that was a lie, and that as a matter of fact, she purposely and knowingly put that on there because she feared the pressure from the press.
Mm. Well, clerical error is a phrase that covers a very great number of sins.
It was so ironic to have her, I mean, birds of a feather are flocking together at the White House.
Mm.
And they're all going down with this. They all look good up front, but then when you dig just below the surface, it's all smoke and puff.
Yeah, but Americans do not seem prepared to dig below the surface. Again, I hold up to you this poll that says 7 out of 10 Americans just about believe they're using this for foul purposes,
mm-hmm.
these files, and yet still favor Clinton by 17 points.
And it's those exact same people, sir, that when able to attempt to cheat on their tax, when they get a $10 bill back instead of a $5 at the market, they don't return it.
Right.
It's the same attitude all the way across the board.
Yes, but it's the same.
And so it reflects the president.
But it's
now.
The same attitude all across America.
Yeah,
you
except
see?
For
and so these are proper representatives.
Exactly. Listen to what we're saying here.
I know. Proper representatives. Thank you very much. Yes, sure. That's exactly it, and we're always blaming them for what we see them do that really we are doing. What did he say? You go to the supermarket and somebody gives you a 10 instead of a 5. I'll bet you in modern America, 8 out of 10 people would take the 10 and walk away. Anybody want to lay any money on that one? I say 8 out of 10. And they wouldn't even flinch. And if they did, somebody's security camera would eliminate the flinch. Just kidding. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, Art. Good morning. This is Mike down in Jacksonville.
Hi, Mike. Jacksonville, Florida. Yes, sir.
Just thought I'd throw in my 2 cents here, and I think that all this political stuff can be chalked up to the quickening.
So do I.
You know?
In fact, I just gave an example. Answer honestly. If you went to the supermarket, and instead of a $5 bill in change, somebody gave you a 10 by mistake, would you take it?
Probably.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
You know, I mean...
I do know.
Things happen like that.
And you know how most people would rationalize that? Tell me if I'm wrong. You would figure, well, it all evens out. In other words, I'll bet you I've been cheated out of that kind of money before, and so this is just a way of my getting even.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
Karma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think it's time to let Gabriel's horn fly and see what happens.
I have it here. Matter of fact, I have it here. Somebody was worried that if I were to play a good representative Gabriel's horn, maybe I could set the whole thing actually in motion, you know? Being heard on so many zillions of radio stations with all of this radiation going heavenly, that somebody would hear it and the whole thing would start rolling by mistake. Kind of like a mistaken nuclear war.
Yeah.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
No, turn the radio off.
Yes. Call toll-free 1-800-618-8255. No, you're not allowed to give your last name.
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
Richland is the town.
Oh, I see. The way you said it sounded like you were Gene Richland.
I can understand how that happened, yes. Sorry,
anyway, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Tried to reach you a couple of times. You just made a comment about how many people would give the $10 bill back.
Mm.
There was an article in Reader's Digest a couple of months ago, and they went around and did a study on how honest are people in the United States.
Right.
And it seemed like the percentage was just about what you said, 70%, but the people were honest and would give it back.
Really?
Yes.
Well, and that was in Reader's Digest?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
About 2 or 3 months ago. I don't remember the exact month. But I think, generally speaking, people are still honest and want to do the right thing.
If that is true, then why would they support a president that they have just said, that they have just said they realize is not doing the right thing and or is not honest, and yet they still favor him? Answer
that. That I can't give you an answer to. I can't figure it out myself. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
But I think, too, that... you and I, both being relatively conservative and believing in right and wrong, and would like to see Mr. Clinton leave, just aren't... Well, there's more of my type and your type that listen to your program and call in, I think. Of course, that doesn't answer the question as far as the statistics on the poll of the thing.
Yes, sir. Look, I'm going to have to be honest with you and everybody else. I don't even know what I do. Okay? Let me think about this a little bit. I have kept change. I remember somebody once giving me a 20. Now, I don't think that I realized it until I had driven away. However, that doesn't change anything. I think I've done it, and the reason I was able to come up with the rationalization is because that's exactly how I rationalized it, I remember. I said to myself, well, this just is a cosmic evening, and I kept the money. And so I'm sure later that day, somebody toting up a till somewhere was short. Probably had to make it up. But I kept it. Dishonest? Yeah, technically it is. It is. But I did that once. I remember doing that. And I believe that probably 7 out of 10 Americans would do it too. They might not say that, but I bet it's true. So I'm not going to endeavor to do a survey, because who's going to come on the air and admit what I just did? Very few people. That one guy. Now me. But not too many others. It's kind of like when a bunch of money comes rolling out of it. Have you ever gone to a, you know, like a Coke or a Pepsi machine? Or a telephone? Telephones are even better. I once had $7.40-something come out of a phone. I kept every penny. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Art.
How are you?
Pretty good. My name is Dan from Gardena.
Yes, sir.
California. Anyway, I kind of like to change the subject a little bit.
Okay.
I received my tape from Norio Hayakawa.
Yes.
The one on Area 51.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to say this is the most fantastic thing I've ever seen.
I've heard that. Several people have said that, yes.
Yeah, and in fact, there's a few things. Of course, yeah, I listened to your interview. Very good. You didn't have the time, and he didn't have the time to go into things. But I'll tell you, I just want to advise everyone out there to get this tape, because it's really something to see. It's 2.5 hours,
mm-hmm.
and at the end, it's really something. He shows, you know, certain alien-type crap over Area 51.
Oh, yes.
And anyway, thank you very much, Art, for having him on. And if you could have him on again, I'd really appreciate it.
All right, sir. Thank you. Yes, we will schedule Norio on again. As you know, I am the closest broadcast facility to Area 51 and live in a little town called Pahrump, which is not far from it. And a lot of people who work in that area live here. And a lot of things that fly from that area fly over this valley. And a lot of people who live in this valley get to see these things. And a lot of people don't talk about them. But you can be sure of one thing. They're out there. Matter of fact, when I was younger, it was a safer day in America. Not completely safe, but safer. And I can remember at 16 years of age, hitchhiking literally across the country. And I can remember being dead broke. Dead broke. And making a phone call and having $7.34, 35 cents, I guess, come absolutely cascading out of this telephone in the middle of nowhere, out in the middle of Missouri somewhere, I think it was. And I thought, God, divine intervention. Now, did I feel guilt? Did I try to locate an AT&T person to return this money to? Not only no, but hell no. I think I bought a hamburger and a candy bar. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, this is the economist in Monterey, Monterey Dave.
Yes.
I heard someone discussing earlier about the economist can run the scenes behind the scenes better than being elected to office. That's very true.
Is it?
Yes. But, you know, regarding this President Clinton and the file gate, as you conservatives are so fond to call it.
Yes.
It's just another red herring you guys are dreaming up. And
really?
And I saw the most beautiful sight today, a red, white,
you mean
blue.
Craig Livingstone yesterday fell on his political sword for no reason at all?
Well, you had to have a sacrificial lamb. This is true.
Well, why do you need a sacrificial lamb to sacrifice himself for nothing?
Well, quite frankly, just to be truthful here, President Clinton is our brain trust. We've got to preserve this guy. And if you have someone who's overzealous in the department, doing a very zealous screening of these people who are out to get Clinton, I think that's fully acceptable. President Clinton is once-in-a-lifetime type of president.
Oh, that's for sure.
Who we've got to come along and take care of very, very carefully. I mean, you Republicans have been on a tear ever since the Borg nomination fell through. You've had the American Enterprise Institute well-funded. You've had the GOPAC Institute, well-funded. You've had America in Accuracy in Media, well-funded by corporate largesse, all out to get President Clinton. So just protecting him from conservatives who would do harm to him is a great thing.
I see.
And, you know, these Republicans have been so mobilized. You got all these Republican conservatives out there in their homespun dresses, and you can count the number of teeth in their head in one hand. I mean, you guys just put in the ignominious 104th Congress. What do you expect?
Well, I guess I expected too much from the American people.
Well,
I'm highly disappointed.
At least Craig Livingston stood up and took the hit for the president, and that's exactly what they did when they ran all these security checks.
Well, now let's examine what it means when you have a fall guy. You used that phrase, fall guy.
No,
yes, you did.
He took a hit.
Took a hit. Fall guy, same thing. He took a hit for the president.
Well, he's in charge of security.
You said he took a hit for the president. Now, the clear implication of that is that it should be on the president's shoulders, but instead, he, your words, took the hit.
Right. He's the chief of security.
All
who
right,
else
I,
is responsible?
I thank you for the call. I do thank you for the call and the admission that it should be falling on the president's shoulders, but he, quote, you, took the hit. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Art, I am mad as hell tonight on two issues, and
all right,
I hope I get a quick chance to tell you about it.
Go.
First of all, the caller who called in and you read the facts, I guess, or I guess it was the facts about the mannerisms of Bob Dole, the twitching or so forth. You know as well as anyone, and I maybe you forgot, but the caller should have known that the man was brutally wounded in World War II.
Yes.
And you have back problems. I've had two major back surgeries. There's no question about the fact that the man has suffered and has some physical problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is an indication, of how narrow-minded the public is in how they're looking for a candidate for president. That's my comment. But the other one that's more important is I'm really frustrated hearing you say time and time again, and you said several times tonight and the other night, about how you're lumping Bob Dole in with and the Republicans with your frustration with politics in general. Bob Dole has done nothing wrong. The Republicans
actually, he's done nothing much at all.
Well, he hasn't, but the election is 5 months away.
Mm-hmm.
He's out of money until the convention occurs. And why would it make sense for him to get into the news right now when there's so much going on negative in the Clinton administration?
But sir, at moments of opportunity where the press and the coverage has been free, and an example of that I will give you is a response the other day that he had that he could have made to the whole Filegate business. All he did was make a weak little joke and a chuckle, and that was his response to Filegate.
I saw that, and I agree with you. I would be right down Clinton's throat, but I think it's very unfair to have almost equal criticism of Bob Dole when there is actually crimes that have been committed in this Clinton administration. So can let's try to really balance it out.
Okay? All right, then maybe you can answer for me
and
are not frustrated by the poll that I just cited. The latest one, the NBC Wall Street Journal poll, showing almost 7 out of 10 Americans thinking the Democrats have done wrong, that they were searching for dirt, and that's a horrible thing to do.
Sure.
Use FBI files to search for political dirt. That's what the American people think.
Art.
Now, on the other hand, they still favor by 17 percentage points Bill Clinton over Bob Dole.
Art, I am not going to base my hope in the future of this country on opinion polls that I have no idea how they've been determined.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to do everything I can to try to convince people that we need to vote Republican and conservative to turn this country
mm-hmm.
around, because that's what's in my heart. I'm not going to just throw my hands up and say we have no hope because there's a 17-point difference. I don't think that's a winning strategy.
I'm not a functionary of the Republican Party.
No, I know you aren't.
And if there's a candidate in the Republican Party that turns me on, then away I will go on my own. But in the meantime, I don't care what people say. I'm going to say what I think. And what I think right now is that I'm totally disgusted.
Well, I think that I know there isn't much to get excited about right now, but again, the campaign has not started. They've talked about peaking, or candidates peaking too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to be hopeful, but the last thing that I want to do is see another 4 years of Bill Clinton. So I'm not going to continue to bash Bob Dole.
Well, I agree with you on that. That's the last thing I want to see too. And I'm not bashing Bob Dole. I'm just telling you what I honestly feel. And I'm going to continue to do that. If it changes, I'll let you know. But as of this morning, one word, disgust, both sides. We'll be back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Disgusted. That is the key word this morning. I am disgusted with politics, the whole political process, both sides right now. Disgusted. Now, what could revive me? Well, I don't know. I suppose a poll showing the American people, they're disgusted too. They're upset. They don't like what's going on. But that isn't what I see. What I see is the American people knowing what's going on, as reflected by 68% saying that the Clinton administration is using these files for political ends. Personal FBI files for political ends. That's what they said, the poll. Same poll. 17-point lead for Bill Clinton over Bob Dole. If you know, I'll tell you something. If you run into somebody who's not disgusted over this, you should suspect their motives. That's what I think. Have you seen the new $100 bills? You should suspect motives here, too. North American Trading certainly does. The new bills, ostensibly, the hundreds first and then the rest of the bills to come, were introduced to prevent counterfeiting, which has already occurred. Now, what else might they do with these new bills? Now, let us think. Well, reportedly, the ones seen in Russia and overseas are different than the domestic bills. That would allow them to devalue domestic currency while holding up the value of international currency. Ah, but they wouldn't do that, would they? They really have no choice, and if you want to get the rest of the story about what's going on, I suggest you call up North American Trading. I'm going to give you a free number, and without obligation, they will send you free information, and you can come to whatever conclusion you want. The number is 1-800-877-9799. Anybody who wants their political, economic head in the sand, don't bother to call this number. 1-800-877-9799. Art, the Republicans really don't understand the American people, who are considered the swing vote, of which I am one. I personally voted in 92 to stop Feinstein and Schumer. Now in 96, I'm facing a difficult choice. I do not like Clinton or what he stands for, but the thought of a Republican-controlled House, Senate, and White House is frightening. The fanatic religious right is far too prominent in the Republican Party. I will not have anyone's religion rammed down my gullet or my children forced to pray in school. All you have to do is count the new federal offenses that have popped up in the last 3 years. By the way, the newest of those was voted on by the Senate yesterday and the House probably in the next day or so, and that is to make burning churches a federal crime punishable by yet bigger penalties. He says one party with so much power and questionable motives is unthinkable. Paul in San Jose. Well, I don't wholly disagree with that, Paul. I'm not altogether comfortable with the religious right right now and their position with the Republican Party. I watched Ralph Reed, and I've watched Ralph Reed recently, and I'm not too comfortable with Ralph Reed. He is going for Dole, and it's kind of strange. I see Mr. Reed politically assuming the compromise stance of Dole when I don't think normally Reed would do that. So it's sort of political convenience on the part of what really is a religious organization. Now, I personally happen to favor those exceptions, so I agree with Mr. Dole's position, as a matter of fact. But I kind of question Ralph Reed's agreeing with it. So I'm not altogether comfortable with what's going on. Here's an upbeat kind of thing. Galileo makes close approach to the largest moon in the solar system. It is a big morning for scientists at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena. They're in high spirits over the close encounter between the unmanned Galileo spacecraft and Jupiter's moon Ganymede. JPL employees and their friends and families gathered last night to celebrate. Excitement built as 11:29 p.m., the actual time of the pass, rolled round. A radio signal announcing the news took 35 minutes to reach Earth, where it was greeted by researchers' applause and cheers at 12:04 a.m. A JPL spokesman says the data they received tells them they had an excellent flyby. The probe, get this, came within 524 miles of the planet-sized chunk of icy rock. That's about the distance from San Diego to San Fran. With a diameter of more than 3,200 miles, Ganymede is the biggest moon in the solar system. Scientists are hoping that a look at that moon will provide information about fault areas here on Earth. The first Ganymede photos will not be available until next month. Ha-ha. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, Art. This is Jack from Denver, Colorado.
Jack, you're going to have to speak up, buddy. I can barely hear you.
Sorry about that, Jack. Is that better?
Better, yes.
Okay. Jack, I'm...
No, I'm Art. You're Jack.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just tuned in a bit ago. Sorry about that. You had talked a few times. I've listened to your show as much as possible about the race wars that are coming up or could happen.
Yes.
And I remember when I was younger, I was not a real radical, but a lot of the radical people, I'm Hispanic, by the way,
mm-hmm.
Here in Denver, fought a lot for the racial rights and things like that. And it seemed back then that it was kind of an attitude of prejudice that I lived under here in Denver. A lot of problems. I think it was kind of around the country the same way, but it's really changed now. I have a master's degree, and I've worked my way through the system, but it's almost the racism and comments about my heritage and things that I get now is more of almost these young people and people who live now think they have the right toward racism, and it's a whole different attitude, and I kind of agree that things have really changed. And one other comment is that, you know, nowadays I see the blacks and young blacks and Hispanic Americans who are, you know, in gangs and all that, they're used to shooting each other and firing guns. It's a way of life for them. And if a race war does come, I don't see, you know, the white communities firing at each other and things like that. That it's almost kind of like we're prepared for a race war. And I'm kind of scared that if something does happen and triggers a race war, that it could really happen very easily.
All right, sir. I of course, agree with you. It could happen. Yeah, it's different today. There's just something different about it. It's this terrible hatred. I don't understand it. It's such a waste of energy and time. I'll tell you a little story. here in Little Pahrump, my wife went into an establishment, which I won't name, I guess only because I'm going to try to be reasonable to them. My wife is a minority. She's born in Hawaii, part Puerto Rican, part Filipino, Chinese, French Indian. She's all kinds of things. Dark-skinned. And she walked into an establishment here in Pahrump. And the clerk in the establishment wouldn't serve her. And there was a parade. There was a whole parade. She was waiting to be served, you know, standing there by the counter. And there was a whole parade of white people that came in and got served and left and came in and got served and left. And she finally got angry. And she went out into the aisles to try to find the items that she was looking for herself. And, you know, in frustration, finally just went and looked for the items herself. At this point, the clerk said, "Ma'am, if you're not going to buy something, I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store." And that's when she blew her cookies and just took off at this guy. And as she did, the owner of the store came in. And she told him what happened. And, of course, he was very apologetic and so forth and so on. But that is the kind of thing that goes on here. And to a greater or lesser degree in many places. Here it's generally not bad because there is a mixture here. But it goes on all over the country, and it's still there. Don't doubt it. Well, when she got home, she told me about it, and I got so damn angry, I was, of course, going to go down there and raise holy hell, I assure you. And she stopped me. And actually, she knew I was going to go, so she wouldn't even tell me the name of the store. And I would have. I'd have gone down there, and I'd have really raised hell. And that is an example of what's still there, and that's a very mild example. But unless you're in touch with it and know about it, you don't know what goes on. It's subtle or not so subtle, but it's there. And today in America, it's even worse. There is this great hatred that is built between the different races, and if unchecked, unstopped, and it continues to grow, yes, you bet there's going to be a war. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Mr. Bell. How are you?
Fine.
I need to say hi to somebody real quick. I got pulled over, and the trooper in Texas asked me why I was pulled over, and I told him I was trying to get through on the Art Bell show, and honest to God, he had the same. He was listening to the show, and he said, "Well, son, you just slow it down and reduce that speed dial." So I need to say hi to the wonderful Texas Department of Safety, and I appreciate their concern over my safety.
That's totally cool. So in other words, you actually sort of got away with it.
Oh, absolutely not. I was reprimanded orally.
Well, I know, but you didn't get a ticket.
Well, that's correct.
Brother, that's getting away with it. Believe me.
I wanted to know what is your fear of the religious right? And I bring this up because I have a
All right, I'll answer it very clearly. All right, I hope.
Okay.
I respect anybody's right to have and believe anything they want.
Right.
I don't. You know, that's what America's all about.
Right.
However, I too join that factor in that I don't want anybody else's religion jammed down my throat.
But how has the religious right ever attempted to jam? The religious right is made up of a conglomeration of evangelical Christians, Roman Catholics, you know, Baptists, Methodists. How in the world would a conglomeration itself try to force a single religion down somebody's throat?
Well, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Its position on doctor-assisted suicide.
Right.
It is my belief.
Yes.
That you have a right, an absolute God-given right,
yeah,
to be in control of your own life. And if you're suffering terribly at the end and you make an informed, intelligent decision to end your life, it's none of the government's business, it's not the church's business, it's nobody's business but yours.
But, I mean, can't we bring that argument and draw that out? I mean, what about the Man Love Boy Association, you know, what if those people, people who believe in bestiality, I mean, if we tried, and I'm not a religious
They ought to be watched and put in jail.
Well, I agree.
Have a Man Love Boy Association. Give me a break. We're talking about children here. The right to assault children, that's idiotic.
But if you're gonna castigate doctor-assisted suicide, one issue like that.
I just picked it as an example we could talk about. You know, I said I...
It's a good example. You're right.
Okay, then. I just, in other words, I don't want to be told by anybody else those...
But the government tells us what to do, Mr. Bell, every single day.
I
don't
know.
Drive too fast.
I
don't
know,
throw dope. I mean, the government imposes its morality on us day after day.
I know it does. And to some degree, any civilization's got to have some of that, or you don't have civilization.
You're right. You're right. So why can't... Well, I mean, I don't have any problem. I mean, one of the biggest problems in this country with the lack and the victimization and the lack of self-respect and for... is the fact we've gotten away from a set of good, hardcore values.
Yeah, but see, I think the government's job is more like what just happened to you. You know, if you're trucking along, going too fast, listening to my talk show, doing whatever you're doing, then it should pull you over. For the safety of other citizens on the road, that cop did a good thing.
Yes, sir.
That's what I think government ought to be doing. I don't think that a religion should be a major influence on government's actions.
But the founders thought it should be.
No, they really didn't.
I'm probably not scholarly enough to argue that out, but I love your program, and golly, keep on trucking.
Thank you. I don't want anybody's left or right or anybody else, I don't want anybody's faith jammed down my throat. I'm sure that those of you who've listened to me for an extended period of time know that. I'm pretty much a live and let live guy. I'm not at all comfortable with homosexuality, but then again, I don't go hunt them down either. And what they want to do in the sanctity of their own bedroom is their business. Hand off my knee, that's okay. I'm a pretty much live and let live guy. I have my own views on religion and our maker, and I don't want anybody else's jammed down my throat. Whose life is it anyway? Yes, it is mine. And if I choose to end it, then I'm going to do that, and it's damn well not anybody else's business. I just chose that particular example. So that, you know, stalks me out in some sort of libertarian/conservative middle ground. That's where I am. That's me. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, let me turn down my radio.
Okay, good.
Okay, let me turn it off. My name is Rex, and I'm from San Diego, California.
Hi, Rex. Heights. Glad to have you.
Oh, great. I just want to... I have a little... a few philosophies I'd like to express. When I was 25 years ago, when I met my wife, I told her, well, maybe someday I'm going to rule the world, but times change. And I came up with an organization back in the 70s I called UPFACE. It stood for United Peace Foundation and Cultural Exchange. That went nowhere. And I came up with another idea called IDEAS, which stood for International Democratization and Equality for All.
Too long an acronym. There's a problem with it right there.
Well, how about the United Earth Committee?
That's better.
Okay, the United Earth Committee, well, I figure there's four laws.
See, the liberals have a way of coming up with good acronyms like Earth First. You know, I mean, that has a real ring to it, even though it politically is off the left bank. It has a good ring. They're good with acronyms. Earth First. It has kind of a ring to it. Everybody would say that. It's like saying Motherhood First, right? Earth First. It sounds so good. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. This is Clyde over here in Las Vegas.
Hello.
Hey, I got a very different problem I'd like to pose to you and your listeners. I'm a single parent.
Right.
I have a 14-year-old daughter.
Right.
And back in 1982, I went through a divorce where the mother was given temporary child custody. After the end of the divorce, I won her. But after all these years, she did not have the child. I had the child.
Yes.
And I contacted the police. I contacted the DA, the welfare office and told everybody that we had the child, but they were still billing me for the child support and alimony. And anyways, I won the child.
Well, so why don't you go back to court and say, look, here's the child, here's my tax records, she's been in my custody all this time, I want the child support payments that have been made to be deducted from the future alimony payments.
Well, the problem is that since all these years, the mother's been in trouble twice with the welfare fraud in the state of New York.
Has nothing to do with the fact that you've been paying something you don't owe.
Right, but they're still coming after me for $30,000 that I can't pay.
Get a lawyer.
I do, and they say it's an uphill battle. I've paid this lady over there, this attorney in California, hundreds of dollars, and it's an uphill battle.
Yeah, it's a bitch. Look, you try to do this kind of thing interstate, it's really rough.
Yeah,
no question about it. You've got to get a lawyer where she is, and you've got to try and recover this money that they've made you pay that you didn't have to pay and get it deducted from the total amount of...
Well, I didn't pay it.
You didn't pay. Well, then get it deducted from whatever she claims you owe.
It sounds easy, Art, but...
Well, look, it's the best I can do for you, sir. I appreciate the call, but you're going to have to get in there and fight for yourself. That's all there is to it. I don't know what you expect. Nobody's going to give you anything. The courts are rough. Divorces and custody is rough. And all I can say is if you in fact had custody, then you don't owe that child support, and it ought to be deducted from whatever she claims you owe. Simple as that. To the bottom of the hour with the Restful Maria.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Shadows painting our faces, traces of romance in our heads.
Listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 26, 1996.
This is from Diane down in L.A. listening to KABC. This punctuates exactly what I've been telling you, so listen. They showed me a poll out here last week that really would have shocked you. Not me, Diane. Should shock everybody, though. I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact figures, but I do remember the questions. Question. Who would you like your child to grow up to be like? Bob Dole or Bill Clinton? Dole scored in the 50s, Clinton in the 30s. Question. Who has better morals and ethics? Dole scored in the 50s, Clinton in the 30s. Question. Who will you vote for? Dole in the 30s, Clinton in the 50s. This is the absolute truth, and I couldn't believe it. Well, Diane, I believe it. It reflects not only your Los Angeles area, but apparently the rest of the country as well. People don't want to believe it. People want to believe the polls they believe that they want to believe in, that support their belief and then want to dismiss the ones that they don't believe. I've known people who own radio stations that are the same way. I tell you, it's the truth. When the ratings would come in that said they were, you know, high on the ratings list, number one or number two, these radio station owners would say, wonderful, look at that. We deserve it. And when the ratings would come in and say that hardly anybody was listening, they would say, who the hell believes these things anyway? They're a bunch of garbage. So people tend to grasp what supports their... In fact, I had a caller earlier in the show that was a perfect example. I didn't tell him that the NBC Wall Street Journal poll yesterday was a poll of the same people. And I asked the guy, I said, look, we've just got poll here. It shows that 68% of the American people think Clinton was using these files for political advantage. Do you believe that poll? Oh, yes, I sure do. I said, all right, well, here's another poll that shows that Mr. Clinton is 17 points ahead of Bob Dole. Do you believe this poll? Hell no. Well, guess what? It was the same poll. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art.
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you could call it a syndrome, the Give Us Barabbas syndrome. You know? I mean,
yeah.
That's what it is, you know? I mean, people are just right now just screaming for Barabbas. You know, forget the sins. Give us Barabbas.
Well, the American people will get what they want. In fact, they have it now.
Yeah. See you later.
All right. Take care. I'm sorry, but it's true. And so the operative word for this morning's program is I'm just disgusted with politics. Disgusted with it all. All of it. Left, right, middle, fringes. All of it. The whole political process, I'm right up to here. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Rafael from Bakersfield.
Hello.
I have a couple of comments.
I beg your pardon?
I have a couple of comments.
Okay.
Okay, first thing is about the...
You must be listening to our new affiliate, KERN.
You are correct. I'm very happy because it carries the full Dreamland.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, we're much better. All right, about that devil seed.
Oh, the devil seeds, yes.
Yeah, you know what? There's a common orchid from the tropics, and it grows these plants, like look, the meat, attracts the flies. It's pollinated by the flies.
Yeah, it smells like dead meat.
Yeah.
I know, I'm keeping them in a very dry, cool place.
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a common orchid.
Well, I'm not planting them, sir.
All right, and about the also the guy that called about the extreme right too.
Yes.
Yeah. For instance, I'm against abortion. Okay, totally against abortion, but I'm pro-choice.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I should give my beliefs, impose my beliefs on other people. If somebody else wants to do it, fine. Myself, I won't do it. I will not let it do it. You know. So I agree with you. You have your beliefs. Believe in them, but don't impose it on other people.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. I don't know. There is, I don't know. Abortion is kind of a different deal. And my belief on abortion is that it is life. It is life. When you abort a child, even late-term abortions, my God, that's really awful. You imagine that? Partial birth. You know what that means? That means when all of the child has exited the mother's uterus, but the head, they reach up with a pair of scissors and stick it in the back of the baby's head. Now, I'm no supporter of that. To me, that's murder. However, I am a supporter of birth control. And that's choice, you know. You're choosing not to get pregnant. I'm a big supporter of that. And what's the biggest thing gets in the way of that? Catholic Church. And I'm not a supporter of that for that reason. You know, I see nothing wrong with preventing the birth, preventing the horrible choice that inevitably, no matter what we argue about and talk about, people are going to make. They've got a pregnancy they don't want. A lot of them are going to turn to abortion, and you and I both know that's right. What, to the tune of 1.5 million a year? Shameful. We should be preventing these births. That's the answer to abortion. Otherwise, in the case of rape, incest, life of the mother, sure. Then you're talking about a life, balancing a life. It's like a scale. We're talking about two lives here, the life of the mother and the life of the child. Or in the case of a woman who is raped, you're going to make her go through with a pregnancy that is going to put her in a mental institution or something? I don't think so. Incest, where you're going to have a child, very likely physically defective, tortured, and you're going to make this little girl go through with something that was acceded by her brother or her father? No, I don't think so. So that's my attitude about abortion. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Well, is this the Art Bell Show?
What do you think?
Well, my goodness. Hey, I've been listening to you for quite a while, Jack and Redding.
Yes,
and,
Jack.
Curious, your son. How did he come out on your when he found the fellow breaking the house? What was the final outcome of that?
He was given an award.
Well, I got that. What happened to the other fellow?
Well, that's winding its way through the juvenile court system, and I wouldn't have any comment on it.
Well, good. Sounds like a good deal, and thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Kieran in Fresno.
Yes.
I'm just calling in. Yeah, those callers earlier are pretty funny. They sound like Chris Farley. I don't know if you've ever seen his sketches.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, he asks all the questions, and he goes, oh, that was cool. I thought that was kind of funny.
Well, it reminded me of the hearing yesterday, frankly.
Yeah, basically, that's true also. I've noticed that the declination of our society, like, you know, the other night in Fresno where I live, they had 3 shootings, and then the other night they had some useless stabbing, which is kind of annoying. And just things like that just really irritate me, I mean.
Yeah, it's like you get sick of seeing it. You turn on the local news and it's a parade of death and maiming.
Yeah. Also, I was wondering, have you ever heard about this English barber that designed the Starlight material?
Starlight material?
You never heard of that?
No.
Yeah, they had this thing on TV one time, and the Starlight, it's like some sort of material that can be heated up to some real high temperature.
Yeah.
And it can't be destroyed. And supposedly, like, NASA offered him, like, $16 million for the copyright on it.
Hmm.
It's kind of interesting. I don't know. I've never heard of anything since then.
Sounds like Superman's suit.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Thank you. Remember that? It couldn't be cut. Couldn't be harmed. In fact, really, was it not the thing that conveyed part of the powers to Superman? I can't remember. Maybe it wasn't. That was merely the difference between living on planet Krypton and Earth. There was something about that suit, though, wasn't there? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Yes.
This is Mark in Decatur, Alabama.
How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm wondering if you've heard the story of the exploding chupacabra.
No.
No, you haven't?
The exploding chupacabra?
Yep. I heard this on another talk show a couple of weeks ago now.
Yes.
It supposedly happened in a southwestern state, and somebody found a chupacabra in the backyard.
Yes.
It went after it with a 12-gauge shot, double-barrel shotgun.
That would explode one, all right.
Well, it's just, according to this, the first barrel missed, but the second one hit the chupacabra, and it blew up into a foul-smelling, like, mist or red gas or something.
Ooh, sounds like something evil.
Yeah. I just thought I'd throw a little interesting story into this.
Sounds kind of like a suburban myth.
Yeah.
But I like it. A chupacabra blowing up into a foul-smelling mass of gas. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art. This is Terrence in Eugene.
Hello.
I really enjoyed the Major Dames segment. I was particularly interested in the matter about the Ebola-like viral changes.
Yes.
I practice traditional Oriental medicine in Eugene. And your comments of the another night that we discussed, the fraudulent nature of alternative medicine.
No, now that's unfair.
Well, okay.
I said the nature of alternative medicine, unregulated basically as it is, invites fraud within it, and it does.
It's my experience that it produces some improvement for some conditions for some finite period of time. but rarely actually really cures the condition. What we're trying to do in Eugene is establish a research project to compare naturopathy, homeopathic, Ayurvedic, allopathic, regular, straight, mainstream medicine compared to a few things that actually work each time, compared with diseases like Alzheimer's and autism, asthma, etc.
Yes.
To see what really works.
Right.
I think it's important if the nature of our...
Oh, everybody wants to know what really works, of course. However, it's difficult information to come by and sort through because of the volume of stuff that is out there. So it's quite a it would be quite a job sifting through it.
It is a job. Looking forward to it, though, I found that the cure for these things is readily available with two methods, one Eastern, one Western, dealing with basic chemical balance.
Well, unfortunately, what you really need are good, solid, scientific, double-blind-type studies of traditional medicines, non-traditional medicines, and there ought to be a sort of a consumer's handbook of what works and what doesn't, but it would be a hell of an undertaking.
We're hoping that the senior management of the HMOs will find themselves cut by the cost problem to the point where they're really going to take a look at this with this research.
Well, you do the real research and the real science, and you'll get people to look, but it's not going to be cheap.
No, we calculated, done the numbers, and that's about $17 million to do 10 conditions.
I bet.
It's called the Cure Campaign.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish you luck with it. It is a good idea. It is a wonderful idea, actually. And there ought to be, there is another $1 million idea for somebody. It would take a good investment because you'd have to run real scientific studies. And that is not cheap. But a sort of consumer reports for all forms of treatments for different maladies, as he pointed out. It's a good idea. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
How you doing, Art?
I'm okay.
This is Bryant in Denver.
Yes, sir.
I called in. You were talking about the honesty of people.
Yes.
Well, I have a guilty conscience because I have done the same thing where I've gotten money back. Like, I was getting gas about a month ago.
Yep.
Gave the lady a 20, and I've got $12.50 in gas. She gave me back $10 too much.
Really?
And I kept it for a day, and then I went back up there and had to give it back to her because it was just...
It was eating away at you.
Yeah. It was making
you started to say to yourself, why should I give away my soul for $10?
No, it's like, not my soul, it's just my conscience. Because I know that,
that is your soul.
Her register was going to come up short $10.
That is your soul.
Well, okay,
yes,
my
is.
Soul then.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't do it. I had it in my pocket, and then just last week I found a gentleman's wallet.
Really?
And I went through it to get his name and address. There's no money in it, but he had like 8 major credit cards in it. I called his house, and he had gone on vacation. I had it for a week, and he finally called me back, and I gave it back to him.
How many of the credit cards did you use?
None. Nada. Because when I saw that, I just put it away and left it alone. And
well,
I called him just to make sure that he knew that I had it. I gave him my name and
well, that's
number.
A very, very honorable thing for you to have done.
Well,
me,
I got.
All right, goodbye. I kept it. I admit it. Once anyway, I kept some change, and once I kept everything that came out of a telephone too. So almost it was like $7.50, something like that. Just cascaded out of the phone. God, what a great time that was! And then I emptied the. You know how you pull open those little phone things, and there's a little well in there. And I emptied that out, and I put it back in, and filled up again, and it just kept filling up. It was so cool. And I know, I remember buying a hamburger and a candy bar. So I have sinned. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
King Arthur.
Not a king.
Mitch, the magic Christian, calling you from Ventura, California.
And I doubt you're magical, but go ahead.
Well, you never can tell. You don't know me that well.
Nobody does.
Well, Arthur, I know that, this being right near the end of the show, it's probably a bad time to do something like this, but I just felt like, well, sooner or later I'm going to have to just jump in the pool, you know? I've been toying with the idea for some time now of starting a serial call with you about the big picture.
Of what?
Well, you know, elementary things like positive and negative charges and the elemental nature of the universe and good and evil and things like that.
I know about those things.
Well, I, you know, I was thinking, I've learned a lot about electricity from your show in the last, year and a half. And because you have a lot of guests on that have things, you know, like with the phased array radar system up there, HARP, and, Sandeo's explanation of the rotating electromagnetic fields, being a power source for the, Earth-based UFOs.
Yes.
And, the guy, was it Beilinson, the Philadelphia experiment?
Al Bielek.
Bielek, yeah. So many of these things have to do with electricity.
Yes.
And I know that you've had jobs.
We, sir, are electrical beings ourselves.
Right. We have a measurable, measurable amount of electricity.
Where are we headed?
Well, I was just wondering, you know, most people who know a little bit about electricity and who have any soul at all have at least given passing thought to the plus negative, good and evil connection, you know, whether there's a, whether there is at
AC, DC, yin and yang.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Whether, like, say, at the point of origin of the Big Bang.
Yes.
When science and religion were one, positive, negative, good and evil, Satan and Jesus, or, you know, God, whatever, and how that's going to play itself out, I think that that's going to have a lot to do with things that are going to happen during the rest of the quickening, myself.
Well, whatever it is, sir, I'm sure I'll get a charge out of it, as you will. Let her run. Thank you. Big picture. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Rittmeister Gerhardt, the magical nature worshiper.
Oh, my God.
Hey.
What man. A way to end a show.
Well, from California, which is going to be proud to have the honor to be the millstone around Bill Clinton's liberal extremist.
How come that in November, how come that is, wait a minute, hey Rittmeister.
Good night, America.
Hypemeister, hold it, it's not time. Hold your good night. That isn't what the polls say. Clinton's leading in California, last poll I saw.
Well, wait till the polls say in 5 months, okay?
Well, so in other words...
We got lots of wiggle room here, you know what I'm saying?
You're giving me a psychic projection.
Yeah, yes, I am. A guru-gate projection.
Guru-gate. All right, Hypemeister, this is it. Show's over. You get the honors.
From California. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Actually, well said. Good night, America, wherever you are. All right, from the high desert, I'm Art Bell. We will once again do this tomorrow when who knows what will be the topic. But for now, good night, America.